I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Hi. How are you today? 610 in Chicago, and this is show number 1,364. Good morning. Hello. Hi. So I walked in, and I thought, man, the security people are kind of unfriendly. And generally, you know, there's an older gentleman here who's always very talkative, very nice guy. And there's a couple of younger folks who are very nice people. And, you know, you got to keep in mind, they've been up all night. And it's sort of the end of their day is coming up. If it's not now, it's an hour from now. But this morning, I said hi to like three different security people. Nothing. Crickets. And I got upstairs and I realized, as I went into the men's room, my fly's unzipped. So they thought, oh, it's a little awkward for them, right? They go, what do I do?
I think that they were distracted this morning, though, not just from your zipper.
Yeah, sometimes they don't say good morning.
Yeah.
They don't say good morning to you guys?
Yeah.
And they say good morning to me when I came in. No. The guy,
yeah, was your fly zipped up?
Well, my pants were down, but...
Wow.
Yeah, I think my fly was up.
My fly was up, and there was three of them, and nobody said hi.
Okay, so it's not me.
They said hi to me.
Where's your fly?
I said hi to them first.
Yeah. Where's your fly zipped up?
Yes.
I don't think they really look in there, Steve.
Well, no, but sometimes it's obvious. There's an international code amongst men that I believe should always be followed, and that is no matter who it is, if you see another man with his fly unzipped, it'd be, hey, buddy.
XYZ. Barn door's open.
No, this happened to me, and it was a priest.
Well, you're not a guy.
Well, what was I supposed to do? His fly
was open. No, it's not your responsibility. I'm saying some guy needs to say to the priest, Father...
I did give it to the guy. I'm
we
like,
have a holy situation.
Father, yeah. The doors are open to the chapel.
Right. I can see communion.
Oh, it was embarrassing. It was really awkward.
All right. Well, anyway, hi, security people. At 6:11, another busy show, as you would expect. The Kid of the Week coming up. Brian Noble's special appearance today. And then later on, what's the nickname for Roger Bosser? The Sod Father.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Bossert will be on, talking about the good times he has in April, trying to keep the White Sox field looking like a baseball field, amongst other things. You ever talk to Roger when he's not in an interview situation, just quietly away? I believe Roger's nuts. I believe he's a genius, beyond geniuses. He mm-hmm. is the best guy in the business when it comes to turf and grass and all that stuff.
Right.
He's phenomenal, but he frightens me. I talk to him.
Well, he's like the mad scientist.
Yes. It's exactly what he is. It's exactly right. Oh, and Eddie George is coming in later. Eddie George, one of the great NFL running backs of all time, has had an interesting career change. He's an actor, and he does mostly musicals. So he'll be in here later. Though he had a couple of particular diva requests, which were kind of amusing, which I'll possibly get into. And yesterday was Chet Kopick's memorial service, which was a very nice service, very funny service in spots. And afterwards, I got blocked into a parking space for half an hour. So, I think I figured out how to handle fixed parking in Chicago.
How's that?
Mobile valets. So yesterday morning, it's raining, and I know I've got to go over to St. Paul's in Lincoln Park. I've never been there. I don't know what the parking situation is. I just know it's raining. I don't have an umbrella. You know how concerned I get about my hair. Mm-hmm. And so I go, and the church has a parking lot, a small one, nearby with a Catholic school there. And I pull in, and I got the Tahoe. Tahoe's a big, it's a big car.
White lighting.
Yeah, white lighting. So I pull in. I knife it into a spot where, you know, it's going to be tough for me to get out, but I wedge myself out of the car. I leave enough space on the other side for the other person to wedge themselves in. And I come out after the service, and I'm double blocked. There's two lanes of cars blocking me in. And you know, think about this symbolism of this. You're going to a church, because just about everybody was going to the service. It's kind of insensitive. You know, some people might have to leave. What if I have an emergency? I didn't. But I couldn't leave. So one guy leaves. He doesn't come up and go, oh, sorry, I blocked you in. He just runs to his car and he leaves. Now, at this point, I've already been in my car 15 minutes. And the other car that's blocking me, it's almost like a video game. A guy's blocking me from behind, and then there's another car about 10 feet to my left that's also blocking me. I've got just enough of an opening. Just enough, Dave, to get the Tahoe back and cornered and through that little opening and back around. So I had a full upper body workout as I cranked that wheel 387 times just to get it out of the tiny space I was in and out. And all I'm saying is, this is as a civilized society, can't we all just get along? You don't block people in parking spaces. You just don't. I don't care what the situation is.
So it was,
go park somewhere else.
It was a 3-point turn or like a 20-point turn?
387-point turn.
Wow.
387-point turn. So here's the mobile valets. So I know I need a space. I go on to Moober. You know, it's a working title. I don't know what it's called. It's like Uber, but it's a mobile valet. So it's Moober. I guess it would be Mover. No, that's not right. Moober. Let's stick with Moober. Some kid shows up at my place where I'm going, and I'm willing to pay for this kid to either sit in my car right on the street or drive it around for a while.
Okay, a couple of questions come to mind.
Go ahead.
How does he get
to... By the way, there's no bad ideas. We're just brainstorming.
How does he get to you?
Not my problem. He's just got to get there.
If he drives, where does he put his car?
Well, he's probably going to take mass transit, right? He's probably going to take a bus. Or
okay,
take
so how long will that take him to get to you?
Well, I've got
to go with someone nearby.
There's got to be, with an Uber, there's always somebody nearby. So somebody in that area who's willing to sit in my car.
A mover.
There's a simpler solution. You could always downsize from the giant car.
What are you, crazy?
Yeah, I'm just throwing
that out
there.
Do you want somebody sitting in your car, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. As opposed to having to park and, walk in the rain.
Well, what's the difference with a valet parker? It's the same thing.
Well, isn't valet parking at church?
No, I'm saying that
they sit in your car.
Concern about someone else sitting in your car. That's what valet parkers do. They sit in your car.
Well, if you saw Ferris Bueller, you know what they really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they take
your car for a fun ride.
So mobile valets. It's an idea as time has come. You think about all the college kids, they need a little extra money?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't pay for this.
And there's a lot of change there, like in the little crevice.
Yeah, and the rest of this, here's the thing. Sure, there might be a couple of holes in this idea, but the rest of this is, I'm not going to follow through with this. And somebody's going to take this and they're going to turn it into a gazillion-dollar idea.
If they haven't already.
I would have preferred that you done like a monster truck move and just driven over the vehicles.
The thought crossed my mind to go, if I just crank this into reverse. But it's the Chevy Tahoe. I can't mess the Chevy Tahoe up.
I know, but you'd be safe. You wouldn't be injured.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There are probably a lot of news cameras around.
Could you imagine the publicity of Steve Cochran going batty after Chet Kopick's service?
Well, that's the other thing I thought about. I go, listen, I just came out of Chet's funeral. Is this really the biggest problem in the world that I'm double blocked? And I thought, well, no, of course not. But it is annoying. And the other piece of this is Steve Dahl was there. And I thought, well, if Dahl knows my car, he'd block me in a New York minute.
Probably.
He'd absolutely block me in.
Absolutely. Yeah, he takes his parking very seriously.
You've gotten their license plate and had one of your cop friends look it up.
Oh.
There's a bigger conversation we should be having here about parking lots in general. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but they've been drawing these parking spots so narrow.
Yeah,
it's the same people that do seats on airplanes.
It's just impossible sometimes to get out.
Yep, to get out of your car.
Yeah.
You know, the old Tribune parking lot, we had this issue where the slots were for cars when the Tribune company started in 1887, when there were no cars. They're basically for horsies. So they're very thin slots. And what would happen is, and again, this is the stuff, if you pull into a spot, you have to know that there's a car on either side of you that he has to possibly get out or get in. So I could count on one hand the number of times it happened, but every time it happened, it'll make you crazy, where I had to get in either on the passenger side, or at one point, I had to go in through the back of my car, climb over two seats to get to the front of my car to back out of my spot.
I did that once and almost got trapped climbing over the seat.
Yeah.
Well, our garage now has these pillars. I'm not complaining because it's very convenient.
I am complaining.
Hit one.
Yeah, but if you
well,
you
they're
can't,
bigger than
you
a get, pillar. They're gigantic.
Yeah, they're these. They're holding up the Aqua Hotel or
the
whatever
building.
It is. Yeah. So if you are pinned against one of those and someone parks on the other side of you, there is literally no way into your car. I mean, and I've had that happen. And this morning I pulled into, there are three spaces, three parking spaces between these pillars. Mm-hmm. I parked into one on the right. There was no one in the middle space, and there's a car on the left. I noticed after I parked my car, and I'm walking by, and I noticed that the car in the other spot is on an angle and not between the lines.
If you park like on an angle,
you can't do that.
Again, civilized society, everybody's got to get along. We all have to share the space that we have.
Right.
Earth.
I've been actually parking horizontally in the garage now. I just,
I'll switch you. You're horizontal, man.
No, I'm tired of trying to squeeze in and out of my car, so horizontal seems like the answer.
Can be. It's a great way to get your car damaged because somebody won't be as reasonable as I am.
Right. Yes, reasonable is your middle name.
That is me. Texter's helping out here. The other thought is make sure the driver's side has enough space so you can get in and pull out and let your passengers in. So, in other words, you have one side open, the other side not.
Yeah.
Parking in Chicago, it's like parking in New York or parking in Philadelphia or Dallas, whatever, big cities. Sucks. You know, and it's not getting better, obviously. We have limited parking.
Remember when the recession hit and they... That's when they said all the... Oh, I'm sorry. You've got to read that first.
No, that's fine. Finish your point.
They, like, the giant SUVs, gas prices were up, and they were like, these are going to go away, and cars were going to get smaller again, and then...
You know what's gone away? Cars. Cars, and I'm not exaggerating, cars are going away more and more and more, because you have slightly bigger than a car SUVs up to Suburbans and semis, 18-wheelers.
And car companies have stopped making cars.
Yeah.
You can name on two hands all the different brands that they've stopped making because of that.
Well, Ford, right? Ford is only making pickup trucks and SUVs now.
Right.
Correct.
But what's Ford ever done? How big are they?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
I see a texture that says, I'm the problem.
I know. I love it.
You're
You're driving a Tahoe, Steve, in the city. You're the problem.
I'm going to just alert you to something. I'm not the only Tahoe in the city.
Yeah.
And there are people in Suburbans and giant pickup trucks, as big or bigger than mine, that are parking in the same parking garages. So, this is why the mobile valet idea is catching on like hotcakes since I brought it up at 6 o'clock.
It is.
Top 6 at 6 time, item number one, Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot. When is Mayor Emanuel done? 23rd?
May 8th?
May 20th.
20th, sorry.
20th. All right, so when's he coming in again?
They are working on it. And also, we are working with the scheduler for Lori Lightfoot to get in here. She's very busy in the mornings. However, I did see she's going to be on with Pete McMurray this afternoon. So somehow he was able to secure her. And
well, listen, I like Pete very much. But have you explained the size of the audience on these shows?
I know. But daily we talk, Lori and me and her gal. So.
I should probably move on now and not say anything else.
Yes, please.
Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot sat down yesterday with the heads of key public safety agencies to strategize about dealing with Chicago violence this summer and beyond. It's going to be one of her greatest challenges, obviously, as she takes over the mayor's office. There are no easy answers, but we certainly hope she has some new efforts that she's prepared to make. Asylum seekers could face more restrictions. President Trump, so sensitive, is issuing new measures, including application fees and work permit restraints aimed at asylum seekers at the southwestern border, and ordered that cases in clogged immigration courts be settled within 180 days. He's given officials 90 days to come up with a plan to carry out these instructions. Well, here's the plan. You got to hire more judges, and you've got to find a way to cut through the red tape and move these cases along. Secondarily, application fees for people that have no money, who show up at the border with one peso, is not going to mean anything.
Yeah.
I got nothing. And work permit restraints? Yeah, that's all part of cleaning up the immigration problem in general. Don't just be handing out work permits, green cards, and various other things without appropriate screening. So the idea is not to be harder on the people that are coming that aren't criminals. The idea is to fix how we've screwed it up, because our immigration problems are, in almost all cases, started by us. So fix it. And that's not a wall. God, there's so many people in this country that come here And they're highly educated. They come from wherever, from South America, from Europe, from Asia. And then they don't get to stay because of this goofy lottery that you know, it could be anybody. And it's not necessarily you. I met a woman who is Egyptian. And she ends up going back to Cairo. She wanted to stay here, but she couldn't because she didn't get a winning draw in the lottery. And a double Masters. You know, it's the type of thing that would be very beneficial to have, and she wanted to be here. So that's the type of thing that goes on every day. Next. Aurora Warehouse gunman Gary Martin, on the morning he shot and killed five people and injured five cops, warned a coworker, "If I get fired, I'm going to kill every mother effer here. I'm going to blow police up." That afternoon, he went and shot everybody he could. It's one of those situations where, okay, we know that now. What do we do with that information? Because if somebody comes to work and makes that kind of threat, yeah, you can get the cops to come in and remove them, but then you have to have somebody that if you have somebody at work who comes to you and they're nuts and they say, "I'm going to kill you and everybody else," are you going to run and then tell someone about it right away?
Right.
That's probably the lesson that probably you should, yes.
Right, but maybe from the car when you leave.
Right. It's scary. We covered that, Steve. Remember when we did our building training here?
Yes.
If you see something on social media of a coworker, and so you're supposed to alert everybody, you know, but it's a lot of pressure and it's scary, you know, to have that. What if you're reading too much into something? I know that's a pretty direct quote.
But it's kind of related to, if you say bomb in an airport or on an airplane, there's just some things you don't say in certain places. And
yeah.
"I'm going to come and shoot up work" is not one of the things you say at work.
It's an interesting point. Maybe workplaces should have that as a policy for their companies. You know, start joking around about shooting your fellow employees, you're out.
Yeah.
Next. Yesterday, during Dean's report, it had come up that the director, John Singleton, had died after suffering a massive stroke yesterday. It turns out he had not died at that point, but did actually pass away yesterday afternoon. He's only 51, had an amazing career in a relatively short window of time. And, again, a massive stroke, and like Luke Perry, and he's gone at 51. And apparently his relatives are already fighting over the money. Next, a couple of real estate notes. Fred Hoiberg has listed his Burr Ridge Mansion for $3.995 million. If you want to pick that up.
You know, he'll be able to get something in Lincoln, Nebraska, I think, for significantly less, but probably just as big.
Well, if he gets the $3.995, you could buy Lincoln, Nebraska.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And former Governor Rauner lists his Winnetka home for just under $3 million. What's Rauner doing living in a house for $3 million?
Well, he has two penthouses in the city.
Oh, thank God.
Separate. Or one penthouse, one on the 40th floor of the same building. And he also has a house in, I want to say, Key Largo. He has property, 23,000 acres in Montana.
Yeah, he got a place in Colorado.
Yeah, so he's
various
got
other places.
A lot of places.
And by the way, you know what? Good for him. He's got money. Spend it. He gives a lot of it away. And finally this. James Holzhauser, Jeopardy champ. He won again. But this was close. He won by $18.
Oh, I saw him. That guy that was against him was really smart. And
so
almost did it.
You think he's running out of gas? You think today's the day? Tomorrow's the day?
I don't know. Maybe they're just bringing in better competition.
The guy who lost won just under $54,000, $18 less than Holzhauser. It was the biggest total for a guy who didn't win on the show in history.
They should have another show, Jeopardy 2.
I mean, they should.
Yeah, where you get to go.
Yeah.
Because nobody can beat Holzhauser. You get to go to Jeopardy 2.
Yep.
Helpful texters keep chiming in on how to fix parking in Chicago, and most of the advice so far involves me being the problem. It's 6:33. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN. That's your top six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis.
I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not
on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Parking text still coming in, too. 630 is for parking. This is actually a good point. It's for parking. Much can be solved if everybody would agree to park their left tires on the left line of the parking slot they're taking. Left tires, left line. Well, but then if somebody's tight to you, I really like the idea. Then I thought about it. All right. So, again, if you can solve parking in Chicago, I'll give you a pizza. 312-981-7200, 643. Joining us now, Kid of the Week, it's Courtney Hall, who's right on the verge of being Adult of the Week. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning.
Courtney, you're 18.
I am.
Senior?
Yes. What are you going to high school?
What are you going to do in fall?
So I will be attending Olivet Nazarene University to study music education.
Oh, wow.
Nice. And what's the goal? What do you want to do?
So ultimately, I want to be able to teach high school choir, but I also want to coach track and field because that's another huge passion of mine.
What do you run in track? What's your event?
So I'm actually a thrower, so I throw discus and shot put.
Oh, you discus and shot put? I used to throw shot put.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jam it up under your chin, spin around. By the way, why was that funny?
I like how she laughed.
Courtney kind of gave you a little
sure you did.
That must have been 40 years
Courtney
ago.
Courtney reached for the phone and patted me on the head. Did they have a shot put then? Was that an original grease? Courtney, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Courtney, let me tell you about you and see if this sounds like you ought to be tired. Courtney's an honor student, a musician, and an athlete at Yorkville High School, a member of the National Honor Society, Triumph Music Honor Society, Rho Kappa History Honor Society, student council, student ambassador, with a 4.3 GPA. Recently chosen as Student of the Week, and is among 25 students, one of which will be chosen as Student of the Year. Plays the cello, throws the disc and shot put in track, went downstate last year in track, and placed top 10, hopes to repeat this year, babysits in her spare time. What spare time do you have?
I find a way, at least for before track started, I found, you know, a way at least 2 or 3 times a week after practice to babysit, too. Wow. So not much, but just a little bit.
And you go to church every week?
Mm-hmm.
And last summer, you got some tough news. Your aunt was diagnosed with breast cancer, but you stepped right up to help care for your young cousins. And whatever else?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge and a shock to, I think, our whole family. But I knew that in that position, the only thing that I could control was being able to help out at any point in that process. And so that's what I tried to do.
Very mature take on things. Do you have who's your mentors in life? Is it your parents?
My parents are huge mentors to me. My grandparents are huge mentors to me. My grandma actually nominated me for this today. And I'm so thankful for all the support that my family has given me. So I would say my biggest mentors are just my family.
You're very mature. Do you do anything ridiculous? Do you do anything age-appropriate where you can get into trouble?
I love my friends. We're going to prom this weekend, so yes.
Oh, thank God it wasn't this last weekend. I felt bad for the kids in the snow and their prom dresses.
Yes. Hopefully it will be good weather.
Do you still go as groups or is there individual dates now?
It's kind of like a combination of both. You go with a date, but then you sit at a giant table. Mm-hmm. So, both.
Dave, do you remember when we went to prom? Like, I would come to your cave in your village nearby?
Yeah. They didn't have proms when I was a kid, Steve.
Courtney, so you've got, you know, roughly 34 days of school left or something like that for a senior mm-hmm. year. You've got maybe 2 weeks left to track with state and all that business. Are you going to ever hit a senior slide, or are you going to work hard till the end?
I don't think I'm going to hit a senior slide. I want to, you know, till the very end, do my best. And, you know, for us, that means this week is our conference week. The next week is our sectionals where we're able to qualify for the state meet. And then after that, we have our state meet. And, you know, it's a challenge the whole way through because if you want to make it to the state finals, ultimately, you know, you have to place in the top 12. And I'm not going to stop until I hopefully will land somewhere in the top 5. But even getting downstate is a huge blessing. So.
It seems like a lot of work, right? The meet right before prom, that's pretty stressful.
It is a little stressful, but, you know, I think these past 4 years being involved in so much has taught me to prioritize my time pretty well, so I think it'll be okay.
Do you have a particular noise you make when you throw the shot or the discus?
Recently, actually, I started making just a little bit of a noise. I never do that, though, because I think it's so weird.
It's funny. My stepdaughter is a freshman, and she participates in track, and she was running hurdles yesterday, and I was at the meet, and the girls behind me were doing the shot put, and you hear the noise, and then you hear the thud of it landing on the ground, and every time I wince thinking, don't throw it at me, even though I know they're not throwing it at me. But
I have a vivid memory of a little sprinter in track. This will shock you. I was not on the track team, but we do it in PE, in gym class. And this little sprinter from the team thought it was funny, so he grabbed the shot from me and he dropped it on his foot.
Oh.
Yeah.
How heavy is a shot?
It's 8 pounds.
Yeah.
Courtney, what does your summer look like?
Should I have a summer? So, you heard her schedule?
I want to know if she's doing senior ditch day.
Potentially, maybe. This upcoming Monday.
Oh.
Unconfirmed, though.
You sound like the type of kid, though, that if you do senior ditch day, you'll feel guilty about it all day and you won't have any fun.
Yeah, I might come in for half the day
and
then leave the other half. Not sure yet.
Of course you
will. Because you have to go to school or you can't participate in track, right?
Yeah, so I'll be there for half the day.
There you go.
Well, you're an impressive young lady. I know you're going to be great at school.
Wait, I want to hear what she's got planned this summer.
Well, we don't have that kind of time. Imagine if she tells us her entire summer schedule, we'll be here till 11. Will you have any time to yourself this summer?
Yes, I will. It'll be a huge change not doing, all the high school clubs that I've involved in, but I am competing in college athletics, so training for that and getting ready to start in the fall. And then probably working.
Sorry.
You're working.
Of course you're working.
What's your job?
Well, so I babysit, and I babysit pretty much full time. Wow. So I kind of nanny.
I threw the shot while you were answering that question.
Yeah, we heard the.
Oh, really?
The grunting.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for being a great human being, and please stay in touch with us. And stand by because we have prizes for you. What are we giving her?
We are giving her Lou Malnati's Pizza and an Apt gift card. And her grandma nominated her, and I appreciate all nominations. Courtney's very impressive, but you can nominate your grandchildren or your kids or any kids you know in your neighborhood that are just all around good.
And how do you do that?
Go to WGMRadio.com/contests and click on the Kid of the Week link. And I will say, I should keep a database of this. You know, Courtney plays the cello. We've had a lot of Kid of the Weeks that played the cello.
I love
and
the cello.
They always are really great people. I wonder, is there any bad eggs that play the cello?
Amy Cochran. Amy Cochran played the cello. You know what a troublemaker she is.
No, she's fabulous. She could have been a Kid of the Week if she wasn't related to you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you
that'd be an interesting sociological study. Are all cello players good people?
You know what I mean? Because it's a common thread, so... It is. I'm just saying.
All right. So we'll take a break, come back. Steve, you know what's coming up at 7 o'clock, and we continue to get very helpful Parkers who are letting us know what's happening, Steve. Margaret, one of my favorite listeners, says if people park badly, you get an Acme car flipper and flip them out of the spot.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's one day shipping on that from Acme as well.
773, Steve, it's not your fault. It's guys with BMWs. It's always their fault.
Kind of feels like that, right?
You know, you can't really.
Lee Rice is amazing. I'm just saying.
But you can't really tailgate at work.
No, you can't. But that's a good song by.
If
Super
you're
going to
tailgate at work, you got to get there early, or you got to stay late. I don't know. We're trying to figure it out.
Lee Rice in concert, which I've seen quite a bit, and when Parking Lot Party comes on, it's a full crowd participation song. A lot of red solo cups.
We're still waiting for the ultimate solution, and nobody's come up with anything better than my mobile valet service.
Hey, Steve Grzanich, how far away are we from people flying themselves?
You mean like just like it's blinking twice and being able to fly around the room?
Yeah, you know, I think there was a, you know, the hover cars or whatever. I thought that we were on the verge of robots and hover cars.
Yeah,
and
Steve, how come we can't fly yet?
How come we can't fly what?
How come we can't just fly? How
like
come we
hover
can't just
car.
Fly?
We're
coming. I mean, it's coming.
When?
Well,
it solves Steve's problem?
Yeah. No, it won't because you're still going to have to park. You're going to have to. It actually would be harder because you're going to have to land in a parking spot.
And well, can't I just hover my vehicle until I come back outside?
Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
Capturing.
You mean like a balloon?
Helicopter.
You mean like dock it in the air like a balloon and climb down a ladder?
See, the problem of yesterday in a chopper. Would have been tough because it was raining so hard and it was so nasty. You probably couldn't have flown a chopper. And then it would have landed in the middle of the street and it would have been nothing but trouble.
Yeah, I think the solution here, the all-around solution is just teleportation, just being able to teleport from one location to another.
How would it be this morning? I mean, it's a little foggy.
You mean for choppering?
Yeah, I mean, how would you have made it in from the double wide in East St. Louis?
Yeah, you would have been grounded today, I think.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. It's a very good point.
You know what? I just came up with a solution.
Oh, you have one.
I do. A body double.
Well, the wouldn't show that
a clone? Yeah.
Oh, you mean it could sit in my car?
Or that could be you at all these things, and then you wouldn't have to be there.
Yeah, but like yesterday, I wanted to be there.
We can get Billy Joel.
Or Dean.
Yeah, they could sit at church and just say, I'm Steve Cochran, and then let the people decide if it's you or not.
You can also get one of those iPads and put it on the robot thing. And
there you go.
Just FaceTime yourself, just driving around, and it would be you. But you'd be appearing via FaceTime on that iPad that you could motor around.
That's so funny.
These solutions don't make nearly as much sense as my mobile valet service.
No, I think there's an IPO today.
Is there?
Yes, for Moober. Okay.
Moober and Moron Entertainment are the two.
Hey, it's a good idea. I'll have Dean invest. He's loaded. Listen, if you really want to get away on vacation and you don't have the money you want to be able to tell your friends you got away on vacation, and Sandberg, this is sort of like your deal because, you know, you're nuts.
Yeah.
Where you don't eat things, you think about eating things.
I do.
What if you were to not take the vacation, but you thought about taking the vacation, and then you wanted photo or video evidence of it?
Okay.
Fake a vacation.
I like where you're going with this.
Fake a vacation is the name of the business, and they will take a picture of you and pose it over very realistic-looking scenes at famous vacation places in America and around the world. So you can fake a vacation, for instance, at Disney.
So when?
See the picture of you having nothing but fun at Disney. Always want to see Las Vegas, don't have the cash? They'll fake a vacation at Vegas. They'll put you in front of a hot Vegas hotel or in front of the Empire State Building. Fake a vacation can have you anywhere you want, almost anywhere you want, for, you know, a relatively reasonable price. Now, I'm not sure what the upside here is.
What is a good point? I would get depressed if I had to look at the pictures then.
Look what I didn't get to do.
It's just a depressing thing.
So like when the cathedral was burning, you know, and everyone was posting their vacation photos, you could have gone to this service and gotten a picture of you, Mayor, outside the cathedral. And
that was a weird moment. When Notre Dame was burning and everybody couldn't wait to get on social media and post pictures of when they were there.
I know. It was it turned into a bragging about their vacation.
Yeah, but everybody said, oh, no, I'm healing
if I post
my picture.
Right.
I go, baloney.
I know,
bragging.
Mayor. That's the same thing. I was like, I had to get it. I couldn't even look at that
day. I couldn't either.
I had enough.
Yeah, because I'm jealous because I want to be there. Right? I wanted to go and see it.
Steve, a texter, I was very pregnant at the mall, came out to my car to find a person on the driver's side of my car parked so close I could not open the door. Had to crawl in to my car from the passenger side. The car had buckled seats requiring me to twist my pregnant body to be able to sit down. Needless to say, I left that person a note explaining I did not appreciate their rudeness. Have you left any notes?
Yeah, I had the time yesterday and I didn't. I certainly had the time to write one yesterday.
Well, it was raining, though.
In the rain, the note would, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like a heckler at a comedy club. Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. I've never keyed a car.
No, I wouldn't recommend that.
But what if the person who had you blocked in turned out to be somebody that you actually like, your friends
There's no question. It was somebody from Chet Service.
Right.
So there was somebody from Chet Service, and I don't know if I knew him or didn't know him. But, yeah, it could have been a friend. And they would have come out, and I would have said, "The hell are you doing?" Because we were outside the church at that point.
Or it could have been a family member, which really would have been bad.
Well, I wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
Fakeavacation.com. Let's see. Las Vegas, Disneyland, Hawaii, and more. I'm looking for a price here. But if you go to fakeavacation.com, you can see all the places you've never been. So
that's good if you want to disappear, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
Just by Photoshop.
6:50, or that. 6:59, what's coming up at 7 o'clock? Steve, right after this in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dave, you might have a dream or two.
How about that?
Dream to play in the National Football League.
A lot of dreams were answered this weekend.
Yeah. Northwestern, Clayton Thorson, he's going to the Eagles.
What does that feel like when you get the call and they're like, hey, you're going to get picked?
Just sitting there with my family waiting for a call and then to see Philadelphia area code show up. It was pretty special.
Nick Allegretti joins us on the phone. Tell everybody where you went to high school.
Went to high school in Lake Louise, graduated in 2014. They had the opportunity to go play for, you know, the league's MVP, the best young quarterback in the league right
now.
Yeah,
congratulations. Best to your family. And outside of playing the Bears, we'll be pulling for you.
All right, I appreciate you guys for having me on. Thank you. Right.
You know, that is so cool that you brought up Nicky Allegretti. He's going to be playing for the Chiefs. And you know what? Nobody on the planet Earth happier about a matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky than Ed Obradovich.
Take a look at Patrick Mahomes compared to our guy. Are you kidding me?
Yesterday, celebrating a couple of Chicago kids who are going to get their shot in the National Football League. And a couple of older kids who played in the National Football League, Ed Obradovich and Dan Hampton.
Kids?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so a couple of words on yesterday's Chet Kopic Memorial Service. Today, you know, today would have been Chet's 71st birthday.
Saw that.
Yeah. How about that? But yesterday, a bunch of us assembled at St. Paul's United Church of Christ. And by the way, Mary Vandeveld is the designated chief Catholic on the show. And I say this with love. Can you guys, you Catholics, can you do anything in less than an hour and 15 minutes? I'm just curious.
It's usually done. Were there a lot of eulogies?
Seven.
Wow. Wow. No wonder.
But they were quick. You know, they were all relatively short. But
Well, that's what put it over the top. Usually you can get out of there in 55.
I mean, it's a nice service.
Did it start on time?
You know, it's show business.
Because so. Then that's not. You got to have a hard start to get you out of there.
10 minutes late.
Was incense involved?
No, is there supposed to be?
Well, yeah. Sometimes there is, and it's more a traditional type of mass, and that takes a little more time.
Well, normally what I find at a Catholic service of any kind is the idea that I shouldn't be there because you're going to have communion that I can't go to or take, I should say, and there's
kneeling.
There's kneeling, and you don't know when
it's
to kneel.
Well, that's
standing
bad
up
for your knees.
And, you know, so. Yeah. But no, it was a nice service.
Good.
So, and I know it's a beautiful church. You ever been to St. Paul's in Lincoln Park?
No. Yeah. I've been to a wedding church. There. Yeah, it is very nice.
So, at any rate, a salute to Chet's kids, Lindsay and Tyler. Lindsay Kopic got married a month ago, and that's the last time Chet was able to see, you know, his family and everybody together. And he always wanted Lindsay to find somebody that would be great to her and her to him. And that looks like a very nice thing. And Lindsay, to eulogize your parents is brutal. I did it twice. And it's very difficult. Now, you know, many of you driving to work now or at home or whatever, you've done it. And it's just really, really hard.
Yeah, I did it too.
Did it.
And it's horrible.
And to lose your dad the way they lost Chet in a car accident, you know, where he's relatively healthy, he wasn't going anywhere for a while, that's got to be even tougher. And there was a couple of references to when Tyler was born, you know, Chet called him his little broadcaster, and Tyler went up and, you know, he wasn't ad-libbing. He was just trying to say the right words and things. And he goes, yeah, my father didn't get that little broadcaster thing right. So he had a nice moment. And Lindsay was very, I was very impressed with both of them. You know, they did a nice job of getting through it. But there are several moments where, you know, you can't help but cry. You can't help but tear up because it's just a sad deal. Everybody you know in town, you know, from television was there. Television sports, anyway. Blackhawks had just about everybody from the front office out there, which is nice. Saw Brandon Faber, who's with the Chicago Bears now. And so it was good to catch up with him for a little bit. And I mentioned Steve Dahl. Larry Wirt was there. Larry Wirt, I don't know how Larry Wirt, who runs this company, I don't know how he does his schedule. I mean, obviously, he'd be there for Chet's services because he knew Chet forever. But Larry Wirt is everywhere.
Larry Wirt's like some weird superhero that just shows up. You're talking about teleporting. You can go anywhere in town, and Larry Wirt will be there.
So this is kind of getting back to your original idea about having more than one, or Steve's idea of having more than one of you.
I'm guessing that, yeah, that was me.
Oh, you think there's, think there's multiple Larry Wirts?
Yeah, body
yes.
double.
Yes.
There's got to be, right?
Yes,
there's no way Larry could be everywhere.
Yeah, there's no way.
And maybe he's using that WGN chopper that should be for the morning show.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. But what about this? What if Larry Wirt were parking my car? Like, wherever I had to go, I call Larry and just say, Larry, drive my car.
It could be like Wirt 1 and Wirt 2.
There was a Chet, you know, people talk about the Andy Reid coaching tree. Or the Bill Belichick coaching tree, or who was before Belichick? Parcells, I guess.
Yeah.
Chet had a broadcaster tree, for sure. Kaplan, we mentioned, who was on the show the other day. Lou Kanellis, Steve Cashel. You know, they all got their start and with Chet. And Gian Greco. And, you know, people forget that when Chet was at Channel 5, Mark's got to be 10 years younger, something like that. And he came in, and he spoke very emotionally and with fond remembrances of Chet and how good Chet was to him. You know, Chet could be hard on people, including all of us. But Gian Greco said he was unbelievably great to him. He told a great story. He was talking about, Chet being bigger than life. And I think we talked about this on the air. Nobody liked being famous more than Chet Kopic. I mean, he loved it. He loved being Chet Kopic. And I mentioned this, too, I think. Saw him several times at the East Bank Club. Never saw him working out. I saw him greeting his public. And, you know, from the full-length fur coat to the I'm waving to a section, I'm not waving to an individual and all that. But Mark was telling a story that somebody, maybe Jim O'Donnell or somebody, had written a very complimentary piece about Chet, and he called him a chameleon, how he can keep reinventing himself. And Gian Greco comes in, and he's kind of sucking up to Chet, wants to tell him how great he thinks the story is, and Chet says, yeah, kiddo, you know, Marky, tell you what, that's the kind of thing that really kickstart your career. I hope that happens for you soon, but I got to ask you a question. What's a chameleon? Didn't quite lock into the whole chameleon thing.
Yeah.
And then John McDonough, who was very close to Chet, was very entertaining as well, told some great stories and was emotional about it as well. And he mentioned that if Chet were there, and I told somebody else this yesterday, maybe it was Jay Blunt, can you think of anybody who would have enjoyed being at their memorial service to hear how great they were more than Chet Kopic?
No, I think that's...
Now, in my belief system, he was there, but Chet would have loved to be able to sit there and to have everybody listen to
and identify everybody. There's Steve Cochran.
Right. Steve Arino. And then Bruce Levine. I felt sort of bad for Bruce Levine because the rule of show business is, you know, the strongest acts close. Mm-hmm. And Bruce is a lovely guy and, knew Great Chet guy. Forever. Yep. They were very close. But Bruce is a little drier than, say, Gian Greco and McDonough as well. McDonough's a great storyteller. And Bruce Levine went up, and his narrative were things Chet would like you to know, which was a nice way to do it. And he went through it, and he said, and Chet would also like you to know that never follow Gian Greco or McDonough because I just lost the crowd. So he was great.
Good for him.
It was what a memorial service should be. You know, it was a celebration of life, but it was also a lot of people getting together who don't see each other very often. Savvy was there, Bobby Hull. So, I mean, you know, you touched a lot of lives in town. There was an amazing selection of photographs because you forget how many people you knew and what an impact he had on sports. There was a great picture of him and Ali. And all the various people he interviewed through his career. So I don't know what the kids are planning on doing with those, but I hope they find a way to put those out publicly somehow so people can see them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So Chet will miss you. And your kids did you proud. Chet Kopic, again, gone but never forgotten and would have been 71 today. I'd like to apologize to the Pope.
What? What did you do?
Well, I just said that, you know, can you Catholics shorten it up a little bit? St. Paul's in Lincoln Park is United Church of Christ. It's a Protestant church. United Church of Christ is a mainline Protestant Christian denomination based in the United States.
And St. Paul's is one of them. I just assumed St. Paul's. I just went right to the generalization. St. Paul's, it's got to be Catholic. And then when I saw the length of the service, I went, well, of course it's Catholic.
Right, you deduce. And then the bad parking, you deduce yeah. Catholic.
I don't know. Is that a traditional Catholic thing, yeah. Bad parking?
I'm sure Mary can... Mary, do you walk to your church or do you...
Usually walk. It's
you walk.
Close.
Okay. Well, for people that drive to their mass, parking lots are a very hazardous place to be before and after church in a Catholic situation. These same people that
Why?
Were just...
I've never heard that. Be,
you never have people honking and you're walking, so you don't know. At our church... There's a lot. People get aggressive because they want to get out of there and people aren't moving.
So they've just spent an hour in church.
Yep.
Learning about how to be better people.
Yep.
Talking about God, mm-hmm. and they come out and they're honking at you to get out of their way.
Exactly.
I don't know why that's a Catholic thing. It's probably any church.
No, not at my church. But then again, I don't even know what church I'm in, apparently. At 7:25, time for this.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
It's a cool story. A Chicago dentist works with local facilities to provide services, programs, and support for kids and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Everybody needs their teeth taken care of, and if somebody has... a speed bump like that in their lives, it can be difficult for a dentist to do the work that needs to be done. And that's why we are saluting Dr. Alan J. Ossierno. And I hope, Dr. AJ, I got the name right.
You did get the name right. Thank you.
How did you get into this part of your business? I mean, it's a specialty that I don't think people teach necessarily, do they?
No. You know, how I got involved was this, is that we took care of a couple of patients that had some developmental disabilities, and their families were telling us that the reality is that the funding for the state was getting cut. And what people don't understand is that most of these individuals, if they have a tooth problem, the only thing that's going to get paid for by the state is taking the tooth out. And understanding that this is happening, we felt we needed to step up and do something for them. So every other month on a Friday, we close down our offices, and our dentists and our team members come and volunteer, and we go ahead and provide services for as many individuals as we possibly can.
You work with something called Clearbrook, right?
That is correct, yep.
And 6 years since the inception, Decision One Dental is a Reason to Smile campaign has provided over $500,000 in free dental services to more than 500 adults in particular with developmental disabilities. I'm sure it takes a special sort of patience because there's an awful lot of people, regardless of who you are, that get very nervous at the dentist. By the way, have you ever been bitten by anyone in your dentistry career?
Many times. It's part of the hazard. It's just hazardous work.
Yeah. I mean, my dentist a couple of weeks ago came in. And he was literally wrapping up a couple of his fingers because he had a nervous person in the chair, and they bit him.
Yeah, and you know, those with mental and physical disabilities, what people don't understand is they are actually some of the best patients that you can ask for. First of all, the love and care that they come in with, the genuine love that they have, their fear is not really a fear. It's a fear that they have of a lot of things. It's just talking to them, putting your time into them, that actually helps calm them down more than anything.
Well, that's a good life lesson, isn't it? That's a good life lesson for everybody.
There's no question about it. Honestly, we got into this not knowing what we got into. We just we felt we needed help. If the state was turning their back on them, we felt that we wanted to go ahead and step up for it. But they have given us so much more back
right.
than we can ever possibly give them. It is an amazing experience to deal with these individuals that are so loving and caring. It's unbelievable.
DecisionOneDental.com/giving-back. If you go to DecisionOneDental.com, there's links there for this story. Daily Herald did a nice write-up on the Shining Star Ball where you're going to be held up for an award, which is nice. But you don't do it for the awards. You do it because you're a good guy, Doc.
Well, as I said, I mean, we started this just trying to get into it and help somebody, and we have gotten more out of it than we can ever imagine. I wish everybody would come and just take 1 minute to to visit these individuals that are so amazing. And believe me, everybody would want to help them.
So this Friday at your Schaumburg location, Decision One Dental Teams will again provide screenings and cleanings for more than 20 Clearbrook residents who may not otherwise receive essential oral health care. And I think it's important to point out, oral health care, if you have a healthy mouth, that means a healthy body follows. Or if you've got, you know, disease in your mouth, that translates to, you know, it can make you sick.
Absolutely.
You know, your whole body sick. And the thing about the tooth extraction, and I know I'm not a dentist, but that causes problems long term, because if you don't get an implant or something, you know, just covering getting the bad tooth out doesn't solve. It sets you up for a host of other problems of follow up, right, doctor?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You know, from the malnutrition and the lack of chewing for missing teeth is immense, especially in mental and physical disability adults and children. So what usually happens is that it's about preventative care early on in the stages. And what happens is that families that are going through this are going through so many issues early on in the child's life that the health of dental just gets neglected, you know. And when there's lack of services in the state, that even makes it, you know, compounds it, makes it worse. And so what we're seeing is that a lot of these decay and a lot of these tooth extractions could have been prevented a long time ago if we just went ahead and put some care into them and taught the families or taught the caretakers a little bit of dental knowledge and a little bit of dental instruction on how to clean and what's sure. the best way to do it.
It might be a couple tickets left for this, and whatever you can do to support Clearbrook is a great thing. It's clearbrook.org. And congratulations on the award, and thanks for being the most valuable person on the planet. And hold on, we have something off the air for you.
Oh, I appreciate it very much, and it's my team and everybody else that helps me. I really do. It's just a wonderful thing that we got involved in.
Very nice. Dr. AJ Acierno.
That's pretty impressive.
Good dude.
Yeah. Two texters, Steve. My dad used to say at the end of Mass, "Catholics, start your engines," implying, I told you, these people get out of there fast. Also, a texter from the 219, "Steve, as a black entertainer, you should be used to long church services."
Yeah, but when we go to church... We go to church. I've told you this theory before. White people attend church. Black people go to church. There's a difference. Praise Jesus. 7:32. Headlines in a moment. 7:20 WGN.
Mueller very clearly, even according to Republican lawyers, conservative Republican lawyers, kicked this to Congress to discuss whether or not there was obstruction.
There's a comment.
You're right. There is no criminal conspiracy proven. Absolutely 100%.
That's more than a
And I'll say it a million
pretty
times.
Pretty big conclusion.
But what you just said about obstruction
is not
accurate.
They kick it to Congress. They commented about separation of powers. Congress doesn't have to take this up. They
why
want to take
he,
it
why
up
do you
because
think he commented?
They want to do impeachment
why do you think
on
he brought
infrastructure.
Up the
they want to do
of
drag the presidency down
okay.
on drug pricing. He brought up Congress because he knows that this Congress would be hungry anyway to try to relitigate and reinvestigate.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Cool thing about having Ryan Nobles on is not just a great information and not just because he's a pal and a friend of the show, but he also plays his own guitar. This is Ryan. He plays his own intro music. Very strong, Ryan. Very strong.
I can play one song on the guitar, Steve. Do you have any guesses what that might be?
I'm guessing it's this one. No, what do you play?
I can play "Every Rose Has Its Thorn" by the great band Poison.
Oh, what a bizarre pull! Why that song?
I like that song.
My wife liked it, and I was learning. I had a brief moment.
Where I decided
I wanted to learn how to play the guitar, and that's the one song I learned, and then I gave up. And I haven't actually played it in a while, so if you put me on the spot, it might not be that pretty.
So once she married you, you figured, I'm done with the guitar. I no longer
exactly.
have to learn anything.
Yep. I got complacent.
All right, now I don't want to get too far ahead of the curve here, because everybody's tripping over themselves to talk about the 2020 presidential election. And as you know, nothing could be more watching paint dry on a wall for most people than talking about something that's a year and a half away. However, having said that, the Biden entry into the race for the Democrats, I think, has surprised a lot of people, because he's even stronger than people thought he could be.
Hey, I'm surprised by it, frankly, Steve. You know, having been out on the road and you know, in depth with the Bernie Sanders campaign as I have, I think that a lot of people thought that, you know, he would be a lot of horse and no cattle, a lot of hat and no cattle, I think is the saying.
Mm-hmm. All hat, no cattle.
straw hat, no cattle yet, and that he wouldn't be able to kind of pull, you know, the expectations for Joe Biden are so high, and a lot of what happens here in the early going is, can you meet those expectations? Well, I think, you know, the first couple of days of this campaign, he's clearly met those expectations, if not exceeded them, and that's exactly where he needs to be because, you know, he only has, he can only fall at this point. And what I've been so impressed by with his early entry, and CNN actually has a poll out this morning that was the first poll taken that was completely, the questions were asked completely after he launched, is that his support is broad-based. He's doing well with African-American voters. He's doing well with young voters. He's doing well with establishment Democrats, with progressive Democrats. Now, there's opportunities for people like Bernie Sanders and others to break into that lead where it's a little bit softer than others. But I think if you're a Joe Biden supporter and you see where he stands right now, this is exactly where you hoped he would be. And, oh, by the way, he raised, you know, $6.5 million in the first 24 hours. So he's definitely in a good position.
I think one of the real temptations he's going to have to deal with, and frankly, I'm not sure what the right answer is how do you deal with the insults? Forget about the president of the United States acting like the president. That ship sailed somewhere in, you know, 2016 after the election. But for instance, the nicknames and the insults and the references to things that are so clearly wrong, they should never be said. I mean, at some point, I would think Biden would just go, seriously, fat boy? Your cholesterol's three times your IQ. You know, that type of thing. Because he can play on that level. But you go back to 2016, and when Marco Rubio tried to play that game, it didn't work.
This is the biggest problem that every single person who's run against Donald Trump has had, right? There's this balance of being tough and showing that you can stand up to him without at the same time not stooping down to his level. And so far, nobody's figured out that balance. Every time you attempt to get tough with him and he starts to go low and call you names, if you get to that point where you start calling him names, you lose the high ground and he wins that battle every single time. So what Joe Biden's trying to do right now is trying to make an argument that, hey, listen, we know this guy's a problem. You just don't want him to be president anymore. I'm the guy that can beat him. I'm the guy that can play on the turf that he plays on, and I'm the better alternative. And everybody else in this 19-person field is too much of a risk. And there's going to be a point where he can continue to make that argument. But, Steve, I think you're right. You know, it's clear that Joe Biden is in Donald Trump's head right now. I think he's tweeted about him 10 different times. Even though his advisors, our White House team is saying, are recommending that he not talk about Joe Biden, he's still doing it. And I don't know how long Joe Biden can just, you know, he's calling him Sleepy Joe. He'll probably have a bunch of different nicknames. He's accusing him of having low energy and all that stuff. How long can he just hold back from the personal insults and keep it on a policy level? That's a difficult thing to figure out, and so far no one's been able to do it.
Well, and as you know, with Trump, nothing's off the table, and there have been incredible tragedies in Vice President Biden's life. And also, he's got a surviving son who's got some significant difficulties that aren't private. And it would not surprise me if he doesn't go down that road. And if he goes down that road, then I don't know how a street fighter like Joe Biden doesn't go after him.
Well, and this is one of the things that really, you know, kept Biden from making a decision earlier than he did. You know, the personal problems that he's dealt with, the loss of his son, the trauma that's going on with his other son and his daughter-in-law. I mean, these are all things that in Trump world are fair game. You know, Donald Trump's kids have had their own marital dalliances. That's not going to prevent him from perhaps going against Joe Biden and his kids. And the one thing about Joe Biden is that he's fiercely loyal to his family.
That's the thing.
He attempts to protect them at every opportunity, even to the point where everybody knows that the Joe Biden's long dream is to be president of the United States, and he seriously considered not running because he wanted to protect his family. So, yeah, I think you're right. When it gets personal like that for Joe Biden, and the thing about Joe Biden is, and, you know, Donald Trump has this problem, too. You can sit in a strategy session with him till you're blue in the face and say, Mr. Vice President, you got to stay off of this topic. But you get him in a room and you get him fired up and he starts talking. And I've been there. I've seen where he goes off script talking about Joe Biden. And he allows his emotions to come out and he wears his heart on his sleeve. And he sometimes can say some stupid things. So that's where I think you're going to find his advisors, you know, very nervous when he's in interviews and when he's talking, because sometimes Biden talks before he thinks, and that gets him into trouble.
We'll let you go on this. 55% of the people in the poll you mentioned this morning, and you can get more at CNN.com, 55% of the people polled said there's not a chance in hell they'd vote for Donald Trump again or ever. That's more than half, in case you're scoring at home. Doesn't mean it's not going to change in a year and a half one way or another, but that's a big problematic number for Trump. And another problematic number is the guy that you're running around with, Bernie Sanders, who after Biden came in is now a distant second. I don't know what they're going to do about that.
Well, I think the first point about Trump, it's not just that half the American people aren't going to vote for him. He's also, you're seeing a lack of enthusiasm among those key numbers that are important to him, like conservative Republicans in particular, you know. And I think there's a particular concern with, like, the Don McGahns of the world. There's a lot of kind of country club conservative Republicans that care about judges and care about the Supreme Court, who have held their nose and supported Donald Trump, but now have read the Mueller report and are starting to have second thoughts. I think that's a big problem for him. In terms of Bernie Sanders, you know, I've been talking to his advisors quite a bit over the past 24 hours. They are playing a long game here. They are not going to get worked up about a poll here or there. The thing that we can't forget about Bernie Sanders is he doesn't have to play by the conventional rules of kind of the momentum of a political cycle, because he's always going to have money. He's always going to be able to participate in the primaries beyond these first couple of early states. So if you're Kamala Harris or you're Cory Booker or Elizabeth Warren, you've got to do well in Iowa and New Hampshire.
Right.
I'm not saying that Bernie doesn't have to do well in those states, but he can afford a loss in Iowa, come back strong in New Hampshire, and then wait for California, because he's going to have money in the bank to compete in those states where these other candidates are not. And he's always going to be around that 20% mark in a field of 20 candidates. Who knows what happens? So, I'm sure they're recognizing how well Biden's done in the early going, but I don't think it's necessarily made them all that concerned at this point.
Yeah, and if I'm Biden, I would just look at Trump and go, America's tired of this act, and they'd like someone who can actually act like a grown-up and be the president of the United States and just wait for the applause. By the way, the Sanders campaign, I'll let you go, but the Sanders campaign needs to spend some money on hair product. If he comes out of the wind one more time looking like Doc from Back to the Future, he's scaring the children. Talk to him.
That is never going to change about Bernie Sanders. I can promise you that. Even though he's got all this money, I don't think they're investing in conditioner, if you know what I mean.
The Vermont maple syrup. Put a little Vermont maple syrup up there. Nothing will move. Thank you, Ryan.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Trying Nobles.
Oh,
playing a little guitar.
Yeah. I can sing along to this with Ryan.
It's Ryan Nobles trying to impress his wife. She married him and he gave up the guitar.
It sounds pretty good for not playing in a while.
Pretty good, yeah. I'm told this is Wolf Blitzer. It's Wolf playing. No parking on the dance floor. Too funky. 7:57 and now this.
I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to see Stephen Sondheim's classic musical, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Crank this up. This is from the show.
That's what I
crank
thought.
Crank this up, Joe.
That's
this is
I
from
thought.
The Sondheim show. You can tell. That's Sondheim.
Playing at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights, May 16th through June 29th. This is a fast-paced, witty, and irreverent comedy that'll have audience rolling on the aisles. I wonder, Dave, if it's going to be anything like that puppet show that you were promoting.
Oh, you mean like it would be like sassy?
Yes, it would be sassy. All right, what call?
MetropolisArts.com for tickets, 847-577-2121. I'm going to give a pair of tickets to the seventh caller, and I have three more pairs of tickets to give away this week.
All right. Scott from Orland Park just won the Sondheim tickets, where Sondheim will perform Tear the Roof Off the Sucker and No Parking on the Dance Floor. And we're back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one night.
Dean Richards joins us. Dean, the big problem we have in America this morning is parking in Chicago.
Oh, that is the truth.
Yesterday, I was double blocked into a parking space in Lincoln Park.
On the street?
No, in a parking lot. I was parked, you know, normally in a slot, and then two cars were parked, what would be perpendicularly behind me. Double blocked.
In a church parking lot.
Right.
Oh, so were you using churchly language when that was happening?
Well, you bet I was. Alone in my car, you should have heard what I said.
I got stuck in the alley yesterday. I was trying to get into my garage, and I pull into the alley, and some truck is there unloading some stuff for some construction's going on. And then two dopes pull in the alley behind me. I should say, I guess.
Two dopes.
They were also doing what I was doing, but I like to think of them as dopes for pulling in.
Yeah,
now,
but once
now
there's
I can't
a
get
car,
out.
Once it's clear there's a truck in front of you, everybody's got to back out.
Everybody's got to back out.
So, anyway, people have been offering helpful parking suggestions all morning.
Yeah.
262, backing into a spot with a big vehicle makes things easier. And in retrospect, that's one of the first things I thought of, because when I did the 375-point turn to get my Tahoe out of the space to maneuver around the insensitive people who blocked me in, that would have been a thing. So that's exactly right. 630, agree with other textures. If you're driving a Tahoe, Navigator, Escalade, you're the problem. Oh, that's nothing gets solved with this kind of negativity.
Big vehicle hater.
We need to work together. 630, it's going to be like George Jetson flying in his car or his little spaceship when he lands in Fulton and then folds it up in a briefcase. That's what you need, Steve.
That would be nice.
815, tell Steve to leave the seats down in the back of his car so he can just quietly and easily rest. Put a MyPillow in there, and then you won't care about the other cars.
Yeah, take some probiotics, and you've got all of our sponsors working in there.
630, autonomous car just drives around instead of being parked. I'm never, ever, ever going to be in an autonomous car. I'm just not going to do it.
No, I don't know what an autonomous car is.
It's a driverless car.
No driver.
Oh.
Yeah. Dean, I suggested that Steve go with a body double. Someone that looks similar to him, possibly you, the listener, suggested, and you sit in the church service, and then Steve's not even dealing with parking.
Well, this was a memorial service for Chet Kopic, so I wanted to be there.
I know, but you wanted to be there. Dean would be there in spirit for you.
But then Dean could be in the car while you were in the service.
Well, that brings me to my idea.
And I got to say, I think nobody would appreciate a ridiculous scam like that more than Chet.
Well, there's no question. My idea, Dean, you know, as a disruptor, is a new service, not Uber, but Moober. Moober, Dean, Moober.
Does this have to do with cows in some way?
Nope, but Moober is mobile valet parking.
Oh.
Mobile valet parking. So yesterday it's raining. I know where I'm going. I'm going to Lincoln Park. I'm going to this service. So, you know, I give them a couple hours warning. I need someone to take my car from me there.
Where?
At the church. Drive it around, find a parking space, you know, take it on a Ferris Bueller run if you like.
I see.
But you need to take my car around, and you need to hold on to my car for the hour or so that I'm going to be gone.
Now, did this...
Mobile valet parking, Dean!
Did this church have a parking lot?
Yeah, that's right. I was blocked in. I was blocked in the church lot. Wasn't very churchly of those folks.
Oh,
was
so you
it?
Just want to pull up in front of the church and have somebody take the car.
Why do you think I became a celebrity? Parking!
Yeah. I can understand that.
What if you found out it was
Moober,
the minister who had parked you in?
Hey, you seem like a good guy.
Yeah, but what if it was his car blocking you?
I would have said, Pastor, this isn't very nice, is it? I said, Pastor, do we have to sit down and have a talk? I would have said, Pastor, Jesus never would have parked this way.
I would hope that you would exercise the patience and virtue.
Well, considering I came out of a memorial service, I did catch myself going, really?
What
you're
mean?
Upset about this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And then, you know, and for 5 minutes,
how
I mellowed out.
How long did
out.
That last, though?
5 minutes. Yeah. For 5 minutes, I
wow,
mellowed out.
That's then a long time.
And I started thinking, what kind of a creep does this? Parks a bit right behind me. Oh, and the little weasel that was parked right behind me, he comes out. My car's running. He knows I'm going to be hostile. He sneaks into his own car and drives away super fast.
Hmm.
Thus clearing the way for my 375-point K-turn.
Could it have been that maybe they thought, like, we're going to the cemetery after this, and we're lining up for a funeral procession like they do?
No,
sometimes?
It's just there was no parking on the dance floor, and everybody saw that this was a place you could go in. But I just don't know in what world is it okay to block others in? Right? I mean, you know, there's no parking attendant where you toss him the keys and he can move the cars around.
I hate
around.
To say it, but I think at memorial services and funerals, I think some of the rules go out the window.
That's the world, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been blocked in. Listen,
I know a lot of people that have died. I've never been in a memorial service where I've been blocked in.
Haven't you, though, been at a funeral, and then there was the procession to the cemetery?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But there was no cemetery.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying
but
this.
You don't
so
know that,
happen.
And you line up because that's what you think might happen.
What kind of presumption would that be, that you're going to be a part of the line to the cemetery?
Or invited to the luncheon.
Right. Which, by the way, I don't know that there was a luncheon.
Maybe there was, and you just weren't invited.
That's right.
Okay, so let me get this right. I'm in the line for the procession to the funeral, but I don't get a sandwich? Well, Chet would not have approved of that.
You don't know about the sandwich until at the... Well, generally, it's at the gravesite where they say, we'd like to invite... Because, you know, they want
to... like to extend the invitation.
You know, sometimes they do that at the church.
Sometimes they do, but, you know, usually they like to filter out, if you didn't come all the way to the gravesite, we don't want to give you a sandwich.
You know what made me laugh, though? When I'm blocked in, I'm thinking, Chet would be laughing his head off at this.
Very true.
Unless it was him.
Yeah.
And then he would be hostile beyond hostile.
It's very true.
Let me go to Dolores, who's going to tell me the truth here. Dolores, yes, Dolores, talk to me.
Yes, that church that has a small parking lot.
Uh-huh.
It happens every Sunday for church service that they double park up the middle of the aisle. After you come in first, you have to be parked in. But if anything happens during the week, you have to think of something else. They rent out some of those parking spaces to the school teachers in the school right across the street. And those parking places are taken up right against the fence. So that's why nobody gets a chance to park in that church lot.
So the congregation is okay with being blocked in? Do people just expect
it? No, not at all.
Oh.
They're always complaining, just like Steve is right now.
I'm pretty sure not quite like Steve is.
Not quite. We use a little different language. But
oh, my language was just fine. Thank you, Dolores. I appreciate it.
See, further supporting
have I told you about Moober?
About church.
Moober, the mobile valet service?
Yeah. Yeah. I like my idea better where it has to do with cows, where you get on a cow that's going moo, and you pull right up to the church, and the cow can graze on the grass. You can't double park a car. You can't block a cow in anyway.
And what a perfect idea to speed things up in the city, cows roaming the streets. All right, so on the list today, Tony nominations are out.
Just came out.
John Singleton reaction. Larry King and Peebo Bryson had something in common. Neither one of them wanted. The details on the Rocket Man trip. All of that is coming up. And I believe I have another really good idea that's even better than Moober. Do you know what a Peloton is, Dean?
I do not.
We've got a Peloton.
Peloton is a, Sandberg, you tell me. I believe it's the top of the line fitness bike available.
Yeah, it's a spin bike, Dean. You've seen the commercials
where
you can put it in your house and you have access to thousands of amazing instructors.
Exercises, right.
Yes.
It's also the main pack of a bike race, the Peloton.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Right. So here's my idea. The Peloton recliner. It's the cream of the crop recliner with video programs to show you how to get the best, most relaxing comfort in your recliner.
Don't they have bikes like that? Are they called recumbent?
Recumbent bikes, but I don't think that's what Steve's talking about.
No, I'm talking about a recliner. Yeah.
You don't want to move your feet.
And I also want there to be a video screen there where somebody would, you know, give me a lullaby.
You want proper angle for maximum
relaxations or something? Yeah.
Yes, all of that.
That's all good, but I still like my cow idea better.
I don't know. I think Moober's the moneymaker. And let's be honest, Dean. I mentioned this earlier too. Neither one of us are going to run with either one of those ideas, and people are going to go out and make a lot of money off us.
Yeah, help yourself. That's our gift to you.
You know how tired you get when you do a startup company? Come on.
It's exhausting.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Don't you ever watch that Shark Tank? They all look exhausted.
Yeah. I try to write up a business plan. 10 minutes later, I go, I wonder if F Troop's on.
I'm going to take a nap.
It's 8:22.
Where's my cow?
It's 8:22. More coming up. This is more on entertainment, in case you weren't clear.
Yes, it is.
And we'll get back with that in a moment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9's
720.
Back to Dean, a helpful texter from the 312. Service ends, everybody leaves. What's a big deal? Parked for 5 minutes. Are you impatient or something? When did I say 5 minutes? I was blocked in for like 30 to 40 minutes. Yeah. I might have had something important to do.
You said 15 minutes when the show began.
That was 40. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. That is...
It's just rude.
I think that is a normal expectation to park in a spot and be able to leave the spot when you're ready to leave. I think if that's being called impatient, I'll own being impatient myself.
Yeah, and again, 30 to 40 minutes, I may have had somewhere important to go.
Yes.
Actually, I did have somewhere important to go. Yeah, so I'm going to see Abigail. Dean, help. What?
Whoa! Somebody got aggressive with you. Stop being an ass. Yeah.
Oh, stop being an ass. Has always enjoyed the show.
That text that actually was from 4 days ago. Has nothing to do with today.
Another helpful texter reminds me. I came up with a service for grandparents who don't necessarily have the time to drive to see their grandchild, and they'd like the grandchild delivered. A service called Boober, where the baby is delivered to the grandparents.
Didn't this come up as a suggestion the other day?
Yeah, for Mary Vandeveld, you said instead of her going to Wisconsin, Boober could bring her the grandbaby.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was something else.
Yeah, Boober and Moober.
Well, I think it was confused with another service.
Okay,
that had to do with breastfeeding, but...
I think the bottom line is, why can't people just be a little more courteous?
Also, Dean, that Steve is only coming up with things that go with Uber.
Right. Right, because I'm a simpleton. 262, quit your whining, you're big baby. Listen, if you're going to insult me, proofread. Come on. Tony nominations are out.
Just came out a few minutes ago.
Everybody named Tony wins.
And the musical called Hadestown got the most nomination.
I don't know this.
14 nominations. It's kind of a spoof of Greek mythology. I haven't seen it, but I've heard that it's quite good.
Okay.
With 12 nominations, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. It's a new Temptations musical that just opened. And you may have actually seen Tootsie the musical when it was here in Chicago. World premiered here in Chicago last year.
Yeah, it did.
It did not get great reviews when it was here, but they have obviously tinkered with it enough that it got rave reviews when it opened in New York and got 11 nominations.
Wow.
This morning for Best Musical. Ain't Too Proud. Beetlejuice the musical got nominated. The Prom. Haven't seen that one, but I'm guessing it's about a prom.
Mm-hmm.
For Best Play, the nominees are Choir Boy, The Ferryman, Gary, and a sequel to Titus Andronicus, Ink, and What the Constitution Means to Me. For Best Revival of a Musical, Kiss Me, Kate, in Oklahoma. Best Revival of a Play, All My Sons, Boys in the Band, Burn This, Torch Song, and the Waverly Gallery. And the Tony Awards will actually be given out June 9th. James Corden is going to be the host of that show.
Oh, they're actually having a host, because nothing has a host anymore.
Well, the Oscars didn't have a host, but James Corden is, you know,
he's great.
He's a singer, dancer, and he's a stage guy, so he'll bring it.
Did they fix the ending of Tootsie? Because that's the thing that when I saw Tootsie here, I thought, well, the ending it just sort of ends.
I have not seen it in New York, but I've been, I've heard nothing but raves about it since it opened there. Just opened last week. It qualified for Tony Awards already.
Is that you have to be in New York to get a Tony?
Yeah, it has to be on Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it has to be between a certain date and a certain date, and apparently Tootsie and Ain't Too Proud to Beg just opened not long ago also. So, I mean, they apparently keep the dates open pretty close to when the announcements are made. But apparently they fixed it. I mean, that's...
Well, that's good.
That's it happens all the time when they take it out on the road. They do these out-of-town premieres like we get them all the time here in Chicago. Like, we're going to get August Rush, the musical that's going to open Friday at the Paramount. It probably will wind up on Broadway, and, you know, who knows, what's going to happen to it from the time that it opens here until the time that it plays there.
Is Millard, is your musical Millard, Steve, getting a...
You know, we're tweaking it still, so we're not on Broadway yet, but we're hoping to get there because I know Tony, the guy that Tony Awards are named after.
Named after him.
It's Tony Rigatoni Boom Boom Bombasso, and that's a guy that started the Tonys.
He runs a valet parking service. In New York.
Go, Mover.
There's a lot of double parking going on in New York.
Continuing on, John Singleton, what are people saying?
Yeah, this is a sad story that we reported on yesterday. It was sort of hit or miss. Early reports reporting that he had died before he had actually died, but it was just an hour or so later when they stopped life support, and he did pass away from a stroke that he suffered on April the 14th. But people like Jordan Peele saying, rest in peace, John Singleton. So sad to hear. He was a brave artist, a true inspiration. His vision changed everything. Samuel L. Jackson said, mourning the loss of a collaborator and true friend, he blazed the trail for many young filmmakers and was true to who he was and where he came from. Also, people like Ice Cube saying that he gave me my start. He made me a movie maker and a movie star. There are no words to express how sad I am to lose my brother, friend, and mentor, Janet Jackson, who starred in his movie Poetic Justice, says, you gave me my first movie role, my first Oscar nomination, and so much more. Thank you for all of your work and all you've done for black culture, women, and young filmmakers. And Ron Howard, fellow director, sad, sad news, such a great director, so well-regarded everywhere he went. He will be missed, and his storytelling voice will be missed.
And I think we talked about this yesterday, but a good legacy is take care of yourself when it comes to family history of high blood pressure,
right,
and risk of stroke. Get to the doctor, get your regular checks.
Yeah, what's really eerie about this is it almost exactly mirrors the stroke death of Luke Perry about a month ago. He was 52. John Singleton was 51. Neither of them really had overt symptoms that they may be candidates for stroke. So, I mean, it could happen to anybody.
No question about it. Peebo Bryson and Larry King. How could these two have anything in common?
Both are lovers of suspenders, as we know.
Oh, good point.
But Peebo Bryson over the weekend suffered. Peebo Bryson, who sang, If Ever You're in My Arms Again.
If ever you're in... Oh, go ahead. I'll just sing while you do this.
My arms again.
La, 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 la.
That may be what caused the heart attack, hearing Steve's version of the song. Had a heart attack. He's doing okay. He's resting comfortably in the hospital. And Larry King also got chest pains over the weekend.
Hasn't Larry had a bunch of heart attacks?
Larry has had, I believe I've heard number 8.
Wow.
That constitutes a bunch.
About that. He's also doing okay. They did an angioplasty where they go in and they put stents in to open up the coronaries to provide more blood to the heart.
Life-saving procedure done by a guy named Angie.
Yeah, when I was... the Rolling Stones did a song about him, didn't they? Dr. Angie, who was also a policewoman, if I remember correctly.
As you do.
Anyway, Larry King's okay. Peebo Bryson is okay.
Cardiac arrest. Hello. You're next.
Hello. Schenectady.
And how do people win this Rock Adventure?
So this is the contest where you watch for the Rocket Man Word of the Day, and then you go to our website and enter the Word of the Day, and you become eligible for the grand prize drawing.
I have a guess on what today's word is.
To go to London to the world premiere of the Elton John biopic, Rocket Man, and a whole bunch of other cool stuff that comes with it. What is your guess to the word today?
It's one of two. It's either lickety split or whooping cough. Is that right? Either one of those?
Neither one.
What?
Yeah. Well, we've got a whole week ahead of us. We didn't want to put the good ones out early.
Okay.
So today's word is Elton. If you go to WGNTV.com/contests, enter the word Elton, and then you will be eligible for this contest that we're having.
Well done by you. Moron Entertainment returns tomorrow. Remember, it's Moober. Cows roaming the streets.
That also sounds like my Frankenstein impersonation.
Yeah, it kind of does. Coming up after 9, Eddie George, Roger Bossert, the Duke of Dirt. What's his name, Dave?
The Sod Father.
Okay.
Duke of Dirt.
Relatively close. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is I-44, Steve Cochran Show, number 1,364 continues. Let me check with Sandberg. Is Mike Madigan coming on today?
He is not coming out with us today.
Mike Madigan. No Mike Madigan. We're going to have to bring the Mike Madigan game back. Is J.B. Pritzker coming on today?
He is not as well.
Lori Lightfoot?
Lori Lightfoot will be scheduled sometime in the next week and a half.
Okay.
She'll be joining Pete McMurray later today, though.
These politicians understand I'm not going to stop bringing them up, right?
Yes, I think so. But since we played that music, I am going to give away another pair of tickets to Stephen Sondheim's classical musical Farce. A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, playing at the Metropolis Theater. in Arlington Heights, May 16th through June 29th. Fast-paced, witty, and irreverent comedy will have audiences rolling in the aisles. I want to see video of that.
Dave, you knew Sondheim, didn't you? Weren't you and Stephen Sondheim boyhood friends?
No, not. I think you got that mixed up.
Oh.
You can get tickets at metropolisarts.com or 847-577-2121. Seventh caller right now.
All right, we have time for You Must Pick One. This is where I ask the staff to pick one story for me to do out of the three headlines I give you. Here are your three headlines. Whale or spy? Mitch McConnell still sucks. And Keanu Reeves fun facts. Mary Vandeveld, what's your vote?
Keanu Reeves, I love him.
Okay, Steve?
I like the whale spy story.
Okay, Dave?
A whale or spy, baby.
All right.
I already know that story, so I'm going to go Keanu.
Yes.
Oh, man. Super Joe, you break the tie.
Mary's win.
Yeah, I think the producer booth is definitely behind Keanu on this one.
Keanu Reeves fun facts. That's interesting. The whale spy story is a whale was found with a harness and a transmitter on its neck, I suppose. And they believe it is a Russian spy. The whale is actually working for the government of Russia as a spy.
Property of St. Petersburg on the harness.
Well, if that's a clue.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell has T-shirts out plugging the fact that he blocked Merrick Garland from even getting consideration for a Supreme Court seat. He's bragging about it in his reelection run. Keanu Reeves fun facts. Fun fact number one, he loves hockey. Do you know that?
No.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Born to a half Hawaiian, half Chinese father, Reeves was raised in Toronto and loved hockey. Alice Cooper used to come over to his house. Reeves' mother was a costume designer, and he told Us Magazine that she made some elaborate Halloween costumes. And he said, at one point, I remember Alice Cooper coming over. I remember he brought fake vomit and dog poo to terrorize the housekeeper.
Oh, that's fun. Is that another fun fact, Rosanage?
That's a funner fact. I like that one. It's even better than the other one.
Keanu Reeves came to Los Angeles in the 80s. He found some casting agents were resistant to having him come to auditions because his first name, which means cool breeze over the mountains, was hard to pronounce and seemingly too exotic. In order to combat this hurdle, Reeves started using K.C. Reeves and also Paige Templeton III. Both didn't stick, so we thought about Chuck Spadina. We don't know why. We just knew Chuck Spadina almost became what Keanu Reeves was.
Maybe that was his imaginary friend.
Would that change the Matrix for you if it was starring Chuck Spadina?
Yeah, that's not working for me.
He may have accidentally married Winona Ryder. While shooting 1992's Bram Stoker's Dracula, Reeves and Winona Ryder appear in a scene in which the characters get married. Ryder later pointed out that director Francis Ford Coppola used a real priest in the scene, and both actors said their vows, meaning they might actually be married.
Yeah, but isn't there also something you have to do legally to get married?
You have to sign something and witness.
As an ordained minister, there is a wedding license that needs to be gotten and signed, yes. Right. He's been willing to defer his salary to get other actors in movies. I mean, that doesn't surprise you guys because you know what a great guy Keanu Reeves is, right?
Is he getting the money, though?
Yeah, we'll defer. So I guess he's getting it on the back
he's
end.
He's still getting it.
He believed turning down Speed 2 put him in movie jail for 10 years. After 1994, Speed was a huge hit. Reeves turned down Speed 2. He was shooting a 1996 action film called Chain Reaction. Anybody remember that?
Do not, no.
No. He turned Speed 2 down, a movie believed led to movie jail, where he was offered no other roles by Fox. Ultimately, the sequel was made. I don't remember Speed 2 Cruise Control. A boat? Speed?
I don't remember thing? That either.
I remember it was bad.
So who was Keanu Reeves on that deal?
I don't remember, but it was bad.
Okay.
I think
it was called The Boat That Couldn't Slow Down.
Good one.
Jason Patrick.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll give you a Jason Patrick fun fact. He's Jackie Gleason's nephew.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. Oh, you did know that?
Yep.
Oh.
Don't know why.
You were boyhood friends with Jackie Gleason, weren't you? He's been booed off stage. He had a band. He had, and I think he still has it, a band called Dog Star, which played. Somebody asked him to describe the music. He goes, well, it's like folk music, folk thrash. Now, thrash metal is, hardcore guitar ripping, shredding guitar, loud, crazy, rock music. Folk music is the opposite. I don't know. How do you combine those two? It's like country punk. He had a recurring role on a television show that you likely never heard of. Keanu Reeves had a recurring role on a television show you likely never heard of. He was a small recurring role in a show called Swedish Dicks.
What? They're spies?
A U.S. or Scandinavian co-production about two private detectives from Sweden trying to earn a living in Los Angeles.
When your dad's name is Dick, you know all the Dick references
When was that on, Steve?
Swedish Dicks was in the 90s.
Yeah. Were you in a band called Swedish Dicks?
I was in a band called Swedish Dicks. That's exactly right.
Not Dog Star.
And that series was on in the United States?
Yes.
I do not remember that at all.
Yes, yes, yes. And he's published books of his own poetry. Oh, they're all called, oh. Oh, I once was a man from Nantucket. There you go. Keanu Reeves fun facts. I bet you regret not doing the whale story now.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, if you listen to this show with any regularity, you know Monday afternoons are with Abigail Grace, the world's perfect granddaughter. She's 3 and a half now and still sponging off her parents. And one of my favorite things, and Mary Vandeveld, you may have gotten to this, but you will soon if you haven't, is when the child starts talking a lot and they wake up from their nap. They're at their sweetest and their funniest. And she woke up from her nap yesterday, and you get a lot of this now. Pops, can I tell you something? And I said, of course you can tell me something. And she looks down, and it's dark in her room. She looks down, and she goes, I got a new blanket with a girl on it. Yeah, she got a Mulan blanket because she wanted a blanket with a girl on it. Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
She got a new blanket with a girl on it. She goes, do you like it? Yeah, I like it a lot. Imagine if I said, no, it's terrible.
She's hot on that Mulan. She mentioned it when she was in studio.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah, my granddaughter loves the Mulan, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's got the doll that starts singing. Oh, boy. But her big thing is, sit down when she sees you. She wants you to sit down.
The doll or your granddaughter?
No, you. As soon as she sees you, you have to sit down.
And yeah, but who's talking to you? The doll or the granddaughter?
No, Corey, the granddaughter.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Sit down and behave.
I know. It's hilarious.
Now, the imaginative play thing, too, that kicked in, a few months ago. But, the imagination has no limits. So yesterday as well, we were playing catch with stuff that you couldn't throw. Like, we were throwing the radio station back and forth.
Oh, okay.
We were throwing people around.
Are you good at that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm good at the imaginative.
Did you let everyone drop?
No, I caught them all. Because you don't want to set that kind of precedent. So if she's ever playing catch with real people, she drops them. I don't want to be that.
I guess you guys couldn't go to the park because it was so wet, right?
Yeah, it was nasty. No. So we also played ice cream store. And ice cream store, she runs the ice cream store, mm-hmm. and she wants to know what kind of ice cream I want, but only if I introduce her to my new friends. So I have to bring in new friends. And it's amazing, like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon after you've been up since 4, how difficult it is to think of names.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure when you play with kids. It is. I know it doesn't sound like it is.
It's exhausting.
It is, yeah. Those type of little details that they're interested in and come up with that, and it's like, I can't think of one thing.
Well, and here's the thing. This is where it helped to be fired from a lot of places. So I just went back through the various places I've been thrown out of and pulled random names. And it turns out they all wanted chocolate ice cream.
What kind of ice cream did you get?
Mint chip.
Mint chip. Okay.
Do you have any mint chip, Abigail? Of course I do.
Of course. I love when she says, of course.
Yeah, of course I do. And she never charges me. I guess it's a friends and family discount.
Sure.
So I try to give her money. No, it's free.
That's the herb.
Would you like a bag? I get that.
Would you like a bag with that ice cream?
Like a bag with the ice cream.
Would you like an imaginary bag with your imaginary ice cream?
You'd need a lid so that the ice cream doesn't spill over.
I love that kid. I don't know if you can tell. When will you see your grandkids again, Mary Vandeveld?
I just saw them on Saturday.
Doesn't seem like enough to me.
No.
Remember, Mary was quoted as saying, I don't want them to think I live on the phone.
Right.
That was what she said.
True.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you drove through the snow to get there.
I did.
How's that little baby doing?
Little Valerie. She's very cute.
How old is she?
She's very wise. She's 4 months.
Oh, okay. She's wise already?
Very wise. She has that wise look, very serious look on her face all the time. Like, and, who the heck are you?
And she might be the perfect cougar to Ross and Lauren's new baby boy. It'll be born in August.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. She's going to be a cutie.
It's all part of my new infant Tinder that I'm starting.
And you, while Abigail was here last week, you asked her the name of the baby, and she did, in fact, say, nay, or whatever.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah,
the name of the baby is...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the noise a horse makes, mm-hmm. and she hasn't dropped it for months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the name of your brother? So I told Ross, if she can spell it, yeah. You got to do it.
You got to.
All right, what am I doing? One more break before the news? The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve will be next.
Eddie George, room to run, up the middle, midfield, and there he goes, to the 10, touchdown, 68 yards.
Hit it!
Steve Cochran Show continues live from the showcase of the 18th floor. A 303 East Wacker. This is show number 1,364. Last day of April. Wherever you're listening, around the world, thank you for listening. And hi to everybody on CLTV this morning as well. I think I first heard about Eddie George and his songing and dancing. His songing and dancing.
I like songing and dancing.
On CBS Sunday Morning. I'm pretty sure that was the piece I saw. And I thought, well, how cool is that? Here's a guy I love on a football field. I had no idea he had this passion, this desire, and his talent. And now, NFL legend, Heisman Trophy winner, Eddie George, is playing the role of Billy Flynn on the Tour of Chicago. I would say one of the more demanding musical roles. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We are great. Nice to see you.
Great to see you.
Was it CBS Sunday Morning? Is that when people got to know about you a few years ago?
No.
I'm trying to think of where the news broke that
maybe,
you were doing this.
I know we did a New York Times article.
Okay.
It was a 60-minute piece.
Maybe it was 60
it
minutes.
It was a couple different. I'm not sure exactly which one it was.
The reason I brought it up is because being a big football fan, obviously I knew you, but didn't know this about you. So when did you become a musical fan? When you were a kid?
No. I got into acting about 13 years ago. That's when I started studying acting. And I started off very small, doing small community theater in Nashville, which led to other roles in Shakespeare, Othello, Julius Caesar, and a few roles.
But don't gloss over the fact. You gloss over the fact you just slid into Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's
hard stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was difficult. Very difficult. And that's kind of how I got. I mean, we. I don't want to start off from the beginnings. We'll be here all day how I
got. Oh, don't worry. I'll do the interview. You do the answers. But Shakespeare is a big deal. So you retire. Mm-hmm. You had a great run with the Titans.
Yes.
You retire. You must have had tons of offers to do stuff.
And I did. I got offered to do various auditions that didn't go so well. And that's why I jumped into acting, getting into more theater.
But as an eloquent guy that knew football inside out, didn't you get broadcasting offers too?
Yeah, I did broadcasting. I worked with Fox for
that's
a few
what
years.
I
did SiriusXM. I worked, did some stuff with Stephen A. Smith on his show early in the day, quite frankly, and I jumped into that. But
once the bug got you, you were in.
Yes. In so many words, yes, it did. I enjoyed telling stories in that type of environment in theater because the pressure is so tremendous. It's much like playing football, being in a sporting event where it's live and you get instant gratification.
Every night's like a new game.
Every night's like a new game. Absolutely. And the stakes are high. And now I like being in those pressure situations.
You're a big dude who was known for your ability to cut and to be able to make moves and to make defensive stars in the game look bad. Having said that, did you know you could dance?
Oh, I knew. I've always been a dancer.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've always.
You could dance.
I used to break dance back in the day.
Oh, is
before,
that right?
Before I grew to be 6'3".
Did you bring your own plywood then? Or
no, it was linoleum. That's what
linoleum.
That's what we use linoleum.
Oh, you got to get that spin.
Right, to get the spin.
The spin.
That's the secret. The cardboard was one thing. When you had the linoleum, that was a different type of slickness. So you can get the windmills right and the spin, the behead spins and so forth.
That's a pro tip. There's a pro tip right there for you.
The crab.
Yeah, that's it. What about singing? Did you know you could sing?
Now, that was different. No. When I started taking acting classes, one of our first lessons with my acting coach with Anna Maria Franzella, who's no longer with us, God bless her soul. She says, well, I want to hear your voice. I says, well, I want you to start singing more. It'll help your speaking voice. So I said, all right. So we started singing, and of course, I'm cracking notes everywhere. Didn't know how to use my diaphragm, breath, sure, or anything. But after a while, she says, you have a singing voice. I'm like, woman, please, look, let's just go through these lessons and get through it. And actually, one of the first songs we worked on and practiced on was All I Care About Is Love by Billy Flynn.
How about that?
And lo and behold, the opportunity came 10 years later for me to audition for the role, and I was familiar with it. I knew the songs. So I had some level of confidence and went out there and got it done.
So I know how you audition for a movie or a TV show or a mm-hmm. commercial. How do you audition for a musical? Do you have to have a singing piece ready
to
go?
You have to have a singing piece ready. You have to have a different type of genre song ready to go. But for this particular part, I went to New York to do it. And how that happened, I was doing a play in Nashville called Whipping Man.
Uh-huh.
And during the rehearsal process, I was just drained emotionally. And I wanted to see something fun and exciting. And the musical, Chicago the Musical, the touring company came to Nashville. So I went to the show.
Right.
And right at intermission, I was like, man, that looks like it'll be a lot of fun. But John O'Hurley was playing Billy Flynn. And I said, I would love one day to play a role of Billy Flynn. And I said it out loud. And Kathleen O'Brien, the CEO of TPAC, overheard me. She says, well, can you sing? And I said, yeah, I've taken singing lessons before.
Right.
I've never sang on stage outside in front of, I'm just sure. throwing it out there. She says, well, I'll see what I can work on. 3 weeks later, she gets me an audition in New York City for the head producer, Barry Weiser, to go perform or for the audition. And now that's the moment of truth. I'm like, oh,
How nervous were you?
Extremely.
Sure.
Because I hadn't
been crazy not to
be. Yeah. So I said, well, you know what? If I don't take this chance, then I don't know what happens.
Good for you.
So
man.
I went up there, went into the Ambassador Theater, and I'm thinking, I'm sitting on the stage, and I'm intimidated just being on the stage because I'm thinking, man, some great actors.
You do that at the theater, the audition?
At the theater.
Oh, that's making me nervous.
Right? Yes. And the bright lights are there. There's nobody in the audience. The piano player comes on. Dude does his little warm up. He says, well, you want to do vocal warm up. So I go to the side, do my
la 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 la.
Yeah, me.
right.
And he says, okay, we're going to start from the top. All I care about is love. What key are you in?
Whatever key you want.
Exactly. I said, let's pick one. Let's figure it out. So we figured out my key, which is was a G, I believe. And then knock out the songs. I go through my acting pieces, and then they were like, let's do it.
They loved you.
They loved it.
Here's the thing, too, because a lot of people could go, look, Eddie George is famous. Eddie George can sell tickets. Nobody's going to put you in a play this big unless you can bring it.
Yep.
Because if you can't sing and you can't dance, nobody's going to come to this play, and everybody's going to tell other people not to come to this play.
Right.
So I just want people to understand, this isn't about being famous. This is about being good.
Well, I had to work on that. And
there's nothing that you can't, I mean, you can't get good without working on everything.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It's taken time. It definitely has.
Very impressive. Very. Yes. Seriously, very impressive.
Well, I appreciate it. You guys coming to the show?
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
All right. It's next week.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm your second. Get a little tickle. I'm right there, man.
Is that right, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Just, Eddie didn't know that.
No, it's okay, because he's going to be fine, but I'll be in the wings.
My man.
Yes. When you're ready to audition, are other actors, are you sitting in a waiting room with the...
Sometimes, yeah. I'm sitting out there waiting, and you can hear everybody else. When I auditioned for Hamilton, like 2 years ago, that happened to me, and I'm sitting on the audience. I mean, sitting in the waiting room, and there's like one talented person coming out the other. And I'm like, man, come on, man, this is I get this one. This I don't know if I'm gonna get this one, and I didn't get it either.
Sometimes in theater, they're looking for a certain size person, or you know, yes. a type or whatever, and you have to be on the larger side of most uh-huh. people. Is there anything you haven't gotten because of that?
Too big and too good looking.
You know, I don't know. Usually you do an audition and you'll either hear from them or you won't. It's never, very rarely will you get, well, you weren't quite the size, or we didn't have the costumes, didn't fit you, or you know, we're looking for somebody. No, you just don't get the opportunity.
Well, if you've been in a circumstance, I'm sure you have, where you're auditioning for a TV show or a movie and you walk into a room and casting agents have put people in the room that they think look like you. Now, not look like you, but look like the part they want to play.
Right.
Because I did a mob guy once, and I walk into the room and I'm going, it's a bunch of unattractive dudes in this room, and they're all supposed to look the same. So that's a weird deal the first time you go through that.
Yes, it is. And they're looking, they're probably trying to match you with the actress mm-hmm. or some of the another ensemble. So it has very little to do with probably the talent.
Give me a fun factor here. You having as much fun with this as you did playing football?
Oh, man. It's a lot of fun. It really is.
Ton of work, right?
What is it, though? What isn't a ton of work?
Right.
Whether you're a lawyer, doctor, actor, real estate agent, real estate mogul.
Talk show host.
Talk show host. You got to do your due diligence, right?
Absolutely.
So it's fun. I was just thinking about this the other day. I was at the NFL draft, and I was doing some stuff, hosting events, doing things. That's my world. That's mm-hmm. where I come from.
Yeah.
And now I'm on a plane going down to Houston and Chicago promoting the show for a Broadway show. I'm like, man, I live an interesting life. I am living a very interesting
life.
You're
about 10 minutes away from people going, write the book.
You know, maybe one day. You mm-hmm. know, I don't know. But it's a lot of fun. It's unpredictable. I embrace each moment as it comes. I enjoy jumping on stage, whether it's a dramatic piece, a musical, it doesn't matter. I know that the play here in Chicago, what?
How great is that?
Seriously? I mean, come on, man. There's some great, great performers have come through here. And
absolutely.
I've dominated in Soldier Field.
Right.
Beat the Bears up.
Did pretty well in Evanston.
Pretty well in Evanston. Yeah. And now, in three different ways, I've come to Chicago. I've got my master's in business here at Kellogg School of Management.
Oh, how about that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I have some
ties. He's a Northwestern guy.
Yeah,
you didn't know that?
I have ties to Chicago in so many different ways.
Dave, how do you feel about that?
Performer.
He beat up the cats and he came here and got an education.
Yeah, it's all good.
About that?
That's just fine.
So what's your wife think of this?
She thinks she loves it. She loves
she
it.
She give you notes?
Of course she gives me. My wife's a singer, so she always gives me notes.
Was she here for football life, too, or have you just been married in theater life?
Football.
Football life,
my
too.
Entire NFL career. And the last end of my college, she's my college years as well. She's
but you got to have an amazing partner in life who's going to support something that's really comes out of nowhere for the most part.
Yeah, she's been fantastic. It's been to every single show almost.
Where is that?
Well, the lifestyle and travel alone is lot.
It's tough. Like, she's going on the road tomorrow. And we saw each other in Houston because she was doing the show. And I was there promoting Chicago for next month and some other business. And we spent her birthday down in Houston. So I'll see her all of like 5 hours tonight. And then she goes off on the road tomorrow.
Out of Duran.
Yeah. And her show comes on, I think it's VH1 or BET tonight, Ladies Night Out. So check that out.
Another
shameless plug. Yeah.
Good plug for the wife.
Yes.
Nicely done by you. Hang around a second. I'm going to tell people how to get tickets. More with Eddie George in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the silver-tongued prince of the courtroom, the one, the only, Billy Flynn.
I don't care about expensive things, cashmere coats, diamond rings.
Well, of course, Eddie George is Billy Flynn. Makes perfect sense to me.
So you manifested this role by saying it out loud. This is what you wanted,
you know,
and it happened. So is there, what's the next one?
Don't be shy now. What do you want to do?
Well, you said you auditioned for Hamilton.
I did. I said that out loud. That didn't happen. Not yet, anyway. We'll see. There is a I want to do a movie with Jennifer Lopez. Just us.
Have you worked with her yet?
Just us.
No, never.
just us. Is that the name of the movie, or
it's
is that the
Stranded?
Yeah, that'd be okay.
It's a silent film.
Yeah,
we have to.
Eddie, that's not actually a movie. Eddie, that's a dream you had. That's not actually a movie.
No disrespect to A-Rod or anything.
No,
I just watched her new movie.
That's just my artistic wants. You know.
She's really good.
Phenomenal
she's
what she
incredible.
Does. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She is great. And sometimes I think she's underrated because she's so beautiful and she's everywhere.
No, she's not. I'm talking about her talent.
Yeah.
Her talent.
No,
is
I'm going more shallow.
Yes.
No, she's tremendous. All right, I got to ask you a football question. You were part of arguably the greatest, most thrilling and gut-wrenching ending to a Super Bowl ever.
There have been a few over the years now.
Yeah,
the
but Giants, this one was something else. Yeah. This one was something else.
Yeah.
1 yard short.
Yeah.
And what do you do with that when the game's over? I mean, do you mourn it? Do you take some time with it? Do you go, listen, that's the breaks?
It's mixed feelings because you're exhausted. I was exhausted after the game. It was devastating. It felt like somebody kicked me in the gut, but I was reinvigorated. I was
because you knew how good you guys were.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, man, we got to this point, and it felt like we were victors because people respected how we played the game.
Sure.
We were down 16-0 against the greatest show on turf, Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Isaac Keem, Kurt Warner, Hall of Famers. And to battle back the way we did, and there was no doubt in our minds that we were going to win the trophy that night.
Sure.
And we figured that we would get back again, never to get back again. So, you know, you learn a lot from that. I'm more proud of that team because of how we fought and what we had to go through to get there. And the four years, prior to that were just a debacle going from Houston to Nashville,
right,
and playing in Memphis.
Restarting.
Yeah, you know, our
plus you had an interesting group of personalities on that
team.
Oh,
yeah, we did. You know, Steve McNair, yeah. Bruce Matthews, Javon Kearse, Josh Evans, Kenny Holmes. I mean, we had some
and a
players.
Head coach from those 85 Bears.
Yeah, head coach from the 85 Bears who believed in a great defense and a run game. That was it. You bring your lunch pail and the hard hat and a couple aspirins. It's going to be a long day. You know, that was the motto.
Do you think he'll coach again? Because that's not the model now for coaches.
It's not. I think it's different. It's different now. But what's funny is the one coach that still believes in that to some degree and who's evolved has been Belichick.
Now, what's he ever done?
I mean, listen, Tom Brady's great. He's great. But their defense played fantastic last year. Their defense comes around, and they have a good running game, and they support him. He's a great supporting cast. So Belichick gets it done. I mean, you get these teams that put up 55 points a game and offensively and all that. I mean, that doesn't last. It's what you do defensively and how you're able to control the ball running the football. So, and Jeff Fisher believes in that. If he gets the right staff around him, the right offensive mind, I think he can coach again, and I hope he coaches again.
Yeah, too. If that's what he wants to do, I hope he does.
Yeah,
too.
He does, and I think he deserves that chance.
A lot of parents and grandparents listening now. Kids are at school, but they've got kids in their life that maybe they want to play football. Maybe they want to be a star on Broadway.
You can do it all,
right? Is it different, the commitment? Because everybody specializes now. And when I was a kid, I played everything. You know, and got to do everything. And I think that's a good way to grow up because very few people are going to get to be Eddie George. There's a very small percentage you're going to go on and be a professional football player or let alone get on a Broadway stage. Mm-hmm. So kids should have fun. But if a kid has some exceptional talent, should they specialize, do you think?
Why not? Why not? Why limit yourself? Why put yourself in a box? Why say, I have to pick one thing to do in my life? And that's what I want to stick with.
So you're saying actually do as much as you can.
Whatever is in your heart to do and you have the talent to do. I'm not crazy talented, but I'm going to work my tail off on it. You know, I'll figure a way out. That's how I'm a grinder. That's how I play the game of football. That's how I approach life. And you have some people get paralyzed by fear. And they're afraid to step out of the box.
You got to take chances.
Or eliminate. I eliminate the box in all possibilities. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go for it. Whether it's on the football stage, whether it's
getting my business degree,
whether I'm getting a Series 7. I'm going to approach it, you know, with gratitude, love, but diligence and perseverance. And that's what I say to kids. I mean, why stop? I can't stand when somebody says, well, my heart is, you know, I work in HR, but I am really talented artist, but I'm afraid. No, go do it.
Go do it.
Go to an art gallery. Go start your own art.
And if it doesn't happen?
It doesn't happen.
Then it doesn't happen. But you're never going to have to look back and go, I wish I would have.
You will miss 100% of the shots that you don't make, period. Or don't take.
Well, both.
Right? Both.
Yeah. Last word, Dave.
Ohio State and Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game again this year?
Were they?
Well, they were in last year. You think they'll be in again?
I forgot about the Big Ten championship game.
They didn't have that when you were playing.
Right, but I forgot that Ohio State and Northwestern played. Was that really a game?
Yes, it was.
What was the score of that game?
I'll say this.
Yeah, I love Fitzgerald. I played against Pat. Tough player. 94.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That's right.
Yeah, we were on a couple All-American teams together.
You ever lay a good lick on you?
Oh, yeah. Pat caught me under the chin a couple times.
There you go.
You know, tough kid. And what he's done at Northwestern is tremendous.
Yeah, it really is.
To be in the Big Ten championship game, he finds a way to win 9 ball games a year in the Big Ten. I mean, you have to recruit differently to get kids to come to Northwestern.
Yeah, smart kids.
Northwestern, Vanderbilt, Stanford, Duke.
Yep.
You know, so
different world
academically, and to be competitive in this conference, he's got the blueprint. I mean, he's fantastic. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Northwestern in the mix in again.
Well, that's a good way to end.
That is.
But I don't think they'll beat Ohio State.
I was waiting for that.
Sorry, Dave. I didn't turn his mic off fast enough. BroadwayInChicago.com. Very limited run. The 7th through the 12th next week. Eddie George in town to do Billy Flynn in Chicago, one of the great musicals, period.
Hopefully I'll see you guys there, front row and center. Yeah.
God bless you, man. Break a leg.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Cadillac Palace Theater.
What did I say?
No, I'm just making sure.
Well, did I not say the theater?
Yeah, you didn't say the theater.
Well, you need to know that. Cadillac Palace Theater. BroadwayInChicago.com. Get your tickets. Do it today. And take some friends. Nice to see you, man.
Good seeing you guys. Enjoy it.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way.
Yeah,
always in their place, and you do your best. We're glad to have you out here in the Middle West. We're gonna root.
Roger Bossert.
White Sox.
The Sod Father. Let me tell you something. I don't know how Roger, I don't know how anybody does it, but I don't know how Roger keeps a field even in play with the last two Aprils that we've had. Let me go to Roger now. Good morning, Mr. Bowser.
Well, Stephen, good morning. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again. You know, I'm a golfer, so I've been whining about the fact that we've lost two Aprils in a row. How do you even keep a field playable with the last two Aprils we've had?
You know what? I'm fooling them, Steve. They still think I know what I'm doing. No, you know what? I mean, it's certainly, this has been a very interesting year. Things haven't been as bad as 40 years ago with the infamous disco demolition. But I know, doll. I've got to tell you, it's been a challenge. In my career, obviously, I've dealt with a lot of snow at different times and where we literally had to plow it off or get a snowblower. This year's really been different as we played a lot of day games, and it just so happened it has happened that three times this year before the day game that night, I have 2 to 3 inches of snow. And as a groundkeeper, you always want your field to look perfect and beautiful, and so you do what you have to do. And I pull a few rabbits out of the hat, if you will, to get the snow out. This last snow really was sort of hectic to me. We had about 2 inches, then we had a little rain, then it froze, and about another inch of snow. So what I did, a little trick now, I took some fertilizer called Milorganite. The pellets of the Milorganite are a black color. Black draws heat. So what I did over the ice part of the field, I literally put the fertilizer down, and it helped me break into the ice, take away some of the condensation or the cementation of the ice particle. It broke it down that way. And then I come and I turn some of my irrigation system on. The city water comes out at 48, 50 degrees. If the ambient temperature outside is 32 or above, I literally can get rid of about an inch of snow every 2 hours by
doing that. That's what I'm talking about. This is the brilliance of Roger Bossert. That is science. That's a guy who knows his job.
I want to hear more about Milorganite. I mean, Roger, could I put that on my driveway during the winter to help melt the snow and ice?
Well, you know what? Believe it or not, but you won't need it because I know where you live and I know the compound that you live in. So all you've got to do is press the button for the heat to go on.
That's it. That's it. All right. So a couple of questions. Well, actually, I want to get Sandberg in here. Then I got a couple of basic questions for you.
Roger, okay. I participated in the media fast pitch contest thing at the bullpen earlier this year. And we were told constantly, do not step on this grass in the bullpen because Roger Bossard was going to get very angry with us if we did.
He killed several media people for doing that.
He did. And then, you know, last night I'm watching It's Dog Day at the White's Guaranteed Rate, and the dogs, you know, they're walking along the edge, but if they accidentally get a paw on that grass, you know, Roger's going to get angry. Do you? You sound so nice and personable, but you must scare people, right?
Well, I like to think I'm a nice guy. My wife always tells me that. But you know what? As far as the dogs, I certainly am a dog lover. I actually love the day. I have no problem with that. Were you the one that almost stepped on my grass? They told me there was this little girl that went to pitch. Were you the one?
I was. And it was like they came at me, like five of them came at me, White Sox employees, and they're like, Roger's not going to like
it. I like the fact that Roger's got that rep in-house.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not that kind of mean guy. Don't believe that. The reason why I do that in the winter, if you will, is if you do step on the grass, what happens is the leaf of the plant, the sheath of the plant is frozen. If you step on it, it literally cracks the sheath, the inner part of the blade of the plant, and it literally almost kills the grass. So it to me, it's sort of special.
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, almost, yes. The field is my third child.
What is your lawn like at home? Because you know how the guy that's the psychiatrist has the screwed up family, mm-hmm. and the guy that owns a restaurant makes macaroni and cheese at home. What's your lawn like at your house?
I've got to tell you that my lawn is spectacular, and the reason why I'm proud to say that, and let me say this: the reason why is if I have a dandelion, I'm going to have four neighbors and three newspapers over there.
That's a good point.
So I'm aware of that.
That's a very good point.
I learned my lesson.
Well, when the team is on the road. And even when the team is at home, they might have a day off. Do you have a day off? I mean, this is 7 days a week, isn't it? Throughout the season.
You know, and Steve, you're right. But I tell you what, I go to spring training February 7th every year. I take care of the fields there for the guys. And actually, I'm the only major league groundkeeper that does that. And the reason why is Jerry Reinsdorf, who is probably the best owner you could ever run into. He wants me there to make sure, try and duplicate the fields down there so when the guys come up here in the spring, they know what they've got. I usually get anywhere between 7 to 10 days off between February 6th and October 1st.
Holy cow.
I've got to be honest with you, and people that know me will tell you that. I actually am the most fortunate person in the world. This is my 53rd year here.
That's amazing.
And I love what I do. I enjoy what I do.
Well, look, man, there's nobody better. And the Arizona field looked great. We were out there for a couple of days as well. The facility is tremendous. All right, a couple of things. Diamond Dry, do you guys still use it?
No. Diamond Dry went out probably about 10, 12 years ago. There's new products on the market now. Diamond Dry was the old ground-up corn cob. There's calcined clay on the market now that's used to absorb water. I actually use... All groundkeepers use the calcined clay now, not only just to absorb water, but for conditioner on the fields. You've got to remember that to me, the most important part of the field is the infield portion.
Sure.
People don't realize that every area, first, second, third, and short, every player wants it special.
Yep.
When Ozzie was at short, he always wanted the back 6 feet of the clay firm, yet in front of him soft. Robin Ventura always liked his area almost like mud. So there's a little more to it. I always like to say, I remember Bill Veeck once said one time, and I knew, obviously, Bill very well, he thought a good groundkeeper was worth 6 to 8 games. I'm not sure I would say that. Being the third generation, I like to believe we're worth something, but I'd go maybe 3 or 4 games a year. And, you know, that includes maybe a few tricks of the trade. Every once in a while, that ball that goes down the third baseline might stay fair.
Right, a little crafting of the infield, baby. All right.
Home field advantage.
That's it. That's it. And the grounds crew that runs out there when the rain hits and all that, do they work for you or do they work for somebody else?
No, they're a union. They work for the White Sox. They're here 7 months a year.
But they've got to take care of your field So do you have to school them in how not to screw things up?
Well, yeah, that's not allowed. You know, I on the field with me, I have a 23-man crew, and during the year, I've only got three men with myself on the field. I'm one of the old-time groundkeepers. If it's done, I do it. I want to make sure that it's done myself. I was sort of raised that way.
That's all right.
But you know what? You can't be good unless you've got good people working with you. And I do. I have a great crew, and I would say that they're great people. I can do it without
them.
Listen,
I love how much you love the job. Now, do you still like Sod Father? Because I have a couple other ideas. What about the Duke of Dirt?
Well, I'll tell you, that's better than some of the names I've been called. No, you know what? It caught on about 15 years ago. Guy by the name of Paul Sullivan.
Yeah, sure. We know Paul.
Yeah. And Sully's just a good dude. He started it, and I don't mind it at all. It's
pretty cool.
Times.
It's pretty cool. Turf Titan, that do anything for you?
I like the side. I'll stick with the side, obviously.
Guru of Grass, that's my final offer.
I don't think he's buying.
No, he's not biting any of these, yeah.
Well, you know, Steve, before we get off here, all I want to know is that today, tomorrow, the next day, certainly don't look really good weather-wise. I can always use an extra hand on the tarp. Are you available?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Yeah, you know I'm available. Now, the knees aren't what they used to be, and if the weather breaks at all, I've got to go to the golf course. But other than that, I'm completely dependable.
Hey, I got one more for you, Steve. The Maestro of Milorganite.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. We got a new leader in the clubhouse.
You guys are coming up with some good ones. I'm going to remember these.
Roger, all the best, man. It's great connecting with you again. I'll see you out at the park.
Hey, thanks, gang. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Roger.
Good. Roger Bossert. How about that kind of energy, too, right?
Yeah.
Been doing it for 50-plus years.
He only has how many days off?
Seven a year.
And it got back to him that I almost stood on the grass in the bullpen.
Yeah, and some of the texters chimed in. Sounds like a nice person. Everybody's afraid of him. Mary?
Yeah.
It's 9:53. Bill and Wendy coming up. It is 9:59. And we'll come back tomorrow. Sandberg, anything I'll be plugging for tomorrow? Is tomorrow a good show? Should I come in tomorrow?
You should come in tomorrow. Okay. And we just got this update. The president is calling in tomorrow at 7:10.
Oh, good.
But on Thursday at 7:10, Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot will join us.
And Chelsea Clinton later this week as well?
Chelsea Clinton at some point, yes.
Okay.
Cool.
So busy week as always. And Bill and Wendy are here. How are you?
Hi,
Bill,
Steve.
And Wendy.
Hi.
Wendy.
Great.
And Bill.
We
both
have
of you.
Connie Payton and Andre Dawson.
Andre
coming
Dawson.
In a
They're
bit
trying
later.
To outdo us.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love Connie Payton.
I do too.
Tell her hi from me.
I will do that.
And Andre Dawson, you know, I did an Andre Dawson deal here.
You did an Andre Dawson. Oh, you mean like a blank check story?
Yeah. So what happened was when I got fired in 2010, as you know, I left.
Yes. Because they told you to.
Well, if you get fired, I just think it's the right thing to do.
Right.
So when I came back in 2013, this guy named Jimmy DeCastro was running the joint.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of him. He's shy.
Yeah.
And I gave him a blank contract. I said, I want to come back. You fill in the number. And he did.
And then he gave that check to Andre Dawson.
Nope. But I made $12.50 an hour.
That's not bad.
Yeah. That's why you never want to give a blank check to somebody. Fill in the number. I thought I was good for 15 easy.
Hey, I parked next to you yesterday. I hope you're not upset.
What?
Have you been blocked in?
I have been on more than one occasion.
It's one of your more rude things to do to somebody.
It used to be at the old White Sox park, because parking was hard to come by sometimes, you'd park in somebody's yard, mm-hmm. you know? And if you were between two people who didn't feel like leaving after the game, there was one time where I was there 3 hours after the game because I could not get my car out.
No, I got to have a nice parking story at the U.S. Cellular at this point.
Yeah.
Late, shockingly enough, to a game to meet my Little League team there with other grown-ups. And I get there, and I'm looking for a place, and the lot's full. I don't know why the game was so busy, but it was. So I go around a corner, and there's a kid. He's waving me in.
Yeah.
I think, well, I've been to a lot of major league parks. Kids wave me in. Good kid. Waves me, and he goes, $20. I go, okay, where am I going? He goes, right up here. See where I'm going? Right up here on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Right up here on the right. So $20. I take off. I look in the side view mirror, and I go, well, that's odd. He's running in the other direction.
Yeah.
Right up here on the right was nothing. So I salute the kid.
Yeah.
He sold it hard.
He now charges $40, by the way.
Thief. I could have used him yesterday to steal the car that I was blocked in by.
I know.
We'll see you tomorrow.